You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Yep.
Hello, everybody. It is May 2nd, 2020. It's 6:31 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I'm in the Fakeologist Audio Chat Roundtable live stream on the Discord Fakeologist server. I have Benoit in Switzerland. Hello, Benoit.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. I have Exoteric in Sydney, Australia.
Bonjour. Well,
I have Tom Delpra from Cambridge, England.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. And we are broadcasting live on Periscope, which is Twitter's video thingy. We are on DLive, DLive.tv/fakeologist. And we're also on YouTube. And I have a dedicated link for YouTube, just in case the channel goes up and down. That's fakeologist.com/B as in Bravo/YouTube2. I always keep the YouTube one channel with just a few harmless videos on it, just so I can maintain my account. But YouTube 2 at Fakeologist is the variable channel where we're now, we have permission to broadcast live. It took about 24 hours, so we should be going live. So if you're all out there, you should all be able to chat in some kind of chat window. And if you're in the live stream chat on Discord, it should propagate to all the other platforms at the same time.
We're not getting filmed, are we, Eb? They're not filming us. I'm not wearing my cap.
On the screen, you should see a scroll with our phone numbers, a slow scroll. Okay. You should see the Fakeologist Radio logo at the top. You should see the Fakeologist main page.
Yes.
And you should see the chat window. Those are all the things you should see. So
well,
I'll just send a message out. Hello, everyone there. You guys really can't go in there because then you'll create echo.
I don't want to go in there. I'm happy here.
Well, welcome.
I'm not wearing any makeup, and my wig is in the cupboard.
And you're wearing no pants, I heard.
And yeah. Well,
all right. Well, it's another week of Corona. Why don't we go around the table and we'll see how you guys are coping this week. This is week 8 here, I think. No, are we week 7 or 8? I've lost track. I think we're in week 8 here in Toronto, Canada.
Who's first? Garris, you go first.
I would say that speaking with you and each and every people that I speak with all around the world, I'm in a great situation. My country is not in a real lockdown. Everything will resume in a week or so. So, and the measures were never that hard. I could always take the train, travel where I want, go everywhere. So apart from the closure of a few shops, I can't say that it was too hard on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the same. I have had no difference in my life other than a couple of jobs have gone, put their staff 50% of work from home. So I'm not doing quite as much work, but I'm driving to and from Sydney, driving around in and out of people's houses, going to cafes, but you can't sit in them and eat, but I get coffee. My life is still, I go to the beach, I do everything that I used to do. So Australia is really spoiled compared to South Africa and parts of America. Yeah. Definitely. South Africa's the worst.
But are you social distancing at the beach?
No, I'm not. No, well, some people might be. And I don't go around standing next to people anyway, but people are behaving themselves like they meant to. But they've opened the beaches up here again. They closed Bondi Beach, but it's reopened again because of a lot of backpackers were going there and cavorting amongst themselves, probably from Britain, and carrying on and ignoring the rules, which I thought was fantastic. I applauded it, but we had so many people on Facebook and, you know, with the Gestapo app and reporting everybody for standing too close to each other. It's just horrific. But my life's been fantastic. I can't complain. Anyway, Tom D, you.
Tom D, what's going on in Cambridge, England?
Well, it's eased. The tension has eased, which was palpable for about 3 weeks, where it was really an eerie atmosphere of, like, no one on the roads, really out in the street, everyone wearing a mask and covering up and standing, queuing for an hour to get into the supermarket. So when that, after about sort of 3 weeks of that, people started slowly getting a bit fed up with it, I think, and it got a bit boring. So they've started, it's sort of a bit more relaxed atmosphere now. There's a few more cars on the road. More people are starting to go back to work. There's an atmosphere of it not as sort of full on as it was, the lockdown, at all, but it's still here and we still have to wear masks. I do in my job as I go out around the old folk, and still no rise in the death rate in our client group that I'm aware of around me. But it's in a state of that there is a proportion of people now who are cynical about it, but there is still probably
good. I like
there's
that.
75%, I would say 70% are they're fully indoctrinated and they're sticking with the program. We're quite well behaved here generally, I think. We're quite dutiful to our EV directive.
The Queen.
Well, things are still in lockdown. Well, stay in your home. Is that lockdown? It just says on all the highway signs, stay in your home. And maybe they might create a list of new businesses that can open here. But for the most part, it's still the same old thing here in week number 8. School year is effectively canceled, which is supposed to obviously go into June. But they're using the Fabian Art of War, where they just say, call us back at the end of May. We'll let you know what's happening. So basically, nothing much has changed here in Ontario.
I must say, what I'm saying, I just flagrantly ignore those rules because we've got the same signs up saying stay home, stay home, stay home.
Oh, you do?
I just don't do it. That's the only difference. Yeah. So we've got the same people wearing masks. We've got social distancing in every business. Most businesses are open here, but everyone that's open has got X's all over the place, and you've got to stand on the line. But I just go out of my way to ignore everything and just live my life like I normally did. So it is happening here, and we've been. But unfortunately, Australia's leading the charge for the app that will tell you who you're standing next to. So we've got
the Tracer app, yeah.
The Tracer app is now, what the Prime Minister said yesterday is, get it and you can open up your business again. If you want to go to the pub, get the app. That's what they're saying. That's the general thing. So people are all getting the app, I would say, sadly.
It's a good way of getting Australians to get it, isn't it? You want a beer.
Yeah, so you can go to the pub.
Yeah.
Yes, they did some change. We discussed it last year with Fregan Force, the testing of a similar app, but a one that is using the Bluetooth sensor of the cell phone. And it is currently in testing in some caserne, in some barracks with the army in Switzerland. Interestingly enough, that is a barrack I spent 12 weeks in, so I know quite a bit about it. But the fact is that they are trying to get something in the work before 11th of May and get some kind of app out and add people registering, which I will not do, of course. And I don't really care because the SIM card I am using is not even registered in my own name, so whatever.
They really are pushing it here. When I turned the radio on tonight when I was driving up, this is even on a station that's a community-based volunteer station. They had that get the app thing at least 3 times an hour on a community volunteer station. So God knows what a mainstream radio station is doing. It'll be every 2 minutes. It's being pushed big time. And I'm not getting it. I'm not going to get it. Be told.
Yeah, you might be obligated to if you want to keep working on the between different places.
Well, I went to an office last night and I said to them, so how's it going here? And they said, oh, we've had a few of them today. And I said, oh, why is that? And he goes, because the flu shot lady came around. So, and I said, what, is it compulsory? They said, no, it wasn't compulsory, but everyone did it. So the nurse came around and shot this office up with the flu shot yesterday, which has nothing to do with COVID-19, but they all took the flu shot. So it's working, the PR campaign, for sure. That's not a good thing. I think it's a terrible thing.
Well, here's the break.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Frank McManus from howtotakecareofyourpenis.wordpress.com.
And you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
All right, well, that was John LeBron. And speaking of John
Frank.
LeBron, I'm just looking, and Frank, an ounce of salt. Speaking of John LeBron, I want to just play a little video. Let's see if I can play it easily in the window here for those that are looking at the live stream. Let's see if we can play John LeBron's video now and see how that works. See if it comes through. I don't hear anything. Come on, play.
Waiting.
And sanctions.
Oh, here we go.
So apparently China is the big problem now, guys. This is all China's fault, isn't it? Those pesky Chinese, they didn't tell the world about this pandemic potential problem that was going on in their city in Wuhan. They covered it up, guys.
Is that coming through okay?
They covered it up. And in fact, it never should have happened anyway, because why does China have all these wet markets where people eat bats, you know? They let the wet markets happen.
Is that coming through, guys?
When the wet market inevitably led to a animal-to-human transmission of a virus, because we all know that happens all the time, just like in the movies, yeah. Basically, when they let that happen, then they didn't even tell the international community about what had happened. They tried to cover it up. God damn it. The damn Chinese. Well, you know what? Hopefully, the international community comes together and censures the Chinese for this, because, by crikey, they've let the whole world down on this one. Cost us all billions of dollars. This is all the Chinese fault. Yeah, we're all locked in our houses and businesses have been destroyed, and it's all the fault of the Chinese government. Yeah, it's not our governments to blame for this. No, it's the Chinese, goddammit. So what we need to do is to blame the Chinese. Now, my question for you is, are you falling for this crap? Seriously, are you falling for this? Whoever you are, wherever you are around the world, are you falling for this bullshit? Because if you are, then you're a moron, period. And why are you subscribed to my channel? Please unsubscribe right now. Do us both a favor. Just hit that little unsubscribe button. Smash it. Smash the unsubscribe button and get the hell out of here right now. Okay? Because the only people who follow this are the people who still believe in the...
All right. Well, I just wanted to play a little bit of John LeBron and see if it worked. Now, my idea... Well, you're hearing a lot of that. I guess it's the alternative conspiracy meme right now where we're blaming China. I guess Donald Trump has something to do with that, with he says the word China. But overall, China, I think they're getting they're probably getting the same message in China, saying America probably spread it to China. But that, so this is just a typical art of war. What do you think?
Yes. There is no real responsibility.
100%, Ab, and we've had our media, and I shared photos on to fakeologist.com. I picked up a local newspaper here, the biggest Sydney Morning Herald, a absolutely left-wing newspaper that has an insert that they supply for free called the Epoch Times, and it's...
Wait, you got that? We just got that delivered here in Canada by our postal service. They're going crazy.
Exactly. Okay, so there you go.
Okay, you just got that on Australia too?
Yes, yeah. No, Epoch Times has been included as an insert in the rabidly left-wing Sydney Morning Herald for some reason. So it's like having a right-wing Chinese newspaper put into a left-wing.
Okay, interesting. When did that come through? When did you get that?
I picked up a copy and took it back to the flat the other day and read it. And then the front page is nothing but anti-Chinese government rhetoric across the thing. And I thought, if the Sydney Morning Herald's publishing this stuff, what's Murdoch doing? And there you go. And I picked up I sent a picture of the Murdoch one, the front page cover of Murdoch's, the Daily Telegraph. It says Batman. And it's got a picture of some random guy that's apparently... was a Wuhan doctor that's around, that's been to Australia, knowingly spreading this virus, apparently. So they're both left and right are plugging the anti-Chinese talk, which clearly to me looks like they're ramping up rumours of war to or getting people to hate China. So left and right are both on the same foot. And as we know, left and right are the same bird and the same with the same pair of wings. So something's afoot with an anti-China push, for sure. 100%.
Well, it's just to create an enemy, obviously.
Yeah, it is, for sure. Absolutely. And they're doing a bloody
and what, good job. Who is, it's to distract people from the real enemy, and that is the intelligence agencies of every country. Yes. They're the ones that have created this mess, and they've created this. Can we make it clear that my stance is anyway, and I'm not going to speak for anybody else here, and there is no official fakeologist stance, but I believe that viruses are a hoax. I believe in the terrain theory. I believe that viruses are the microzymes that actually repair and do. They are the granulars, the granules of human cellular action. So if we have a weakened terrain, and this is really hard to explain to people because I can barely understand it myself because we're not taught this. But basically, this
is
what I
think. Logic. It's logic.
Well, this is my interpretation. We have these granular little tiny particles called microzymes, and some people call them viruses, but they're little cells, little tiny elements in our body that make up cells. So say we have a weakened terrain, or say we're chemically poisoned, and some of our cells start to die. Well, these microzymes, or viruses as they're called, they will go in and start to eat away at the cell to dispose of it. Or they'll try and either repair it, or if it's beyond repair, it will work to destroy it and remove it and purge it from the body. And therefore, when we see a high level of what they might call viral activity with antigens in the body, where the body's creating a force to get rid of these dead cells, that's why they say it looks like the virus is attacking the body, when in fact it is just doing its job of putting out the garbage. So you can't get a virus. We already have all these granules in our bodies.
Yeah.
So the idea that we
can I compliment you? Can I compliment you? You're
go ahead.
Master fake theater with the microbiologist on the show from 1992, was it? With yeah, great, you know.
1993, his name was Alex Loglia.
Alex Loglia, fantastic, man. And now,
what happened was, it was about 3 or 4 hours. Yeah, the first 2 hours were on the terrain theory, and then I believe the third and fourth hour were talking about the AIDS virus.
Yes,
cult.
Which was fantastic.
Which was fantastic because you and I, Rick, we were born in a time when AIDS came storming onto the scene. It probably disrupted both of our potential sexual conquests because we were told if we had sex with the wrong person, we would die if we caught this thing called AIDS.
You should see what they did to Australia. I mean, we've talked about it before years ago on this fakeholders.com. But we had this an advert, the Grim Reaper advert, and it showed this giant Grim Reaper in a bowling alley, bowling over, young people.
Is that coming through?
Hello, this is the Fakeologist speaking. You're listening to Master Fake.
If you're looking at the screen now on YouTube, DLive, or Periscope, you should see the post Master Fake Theater 16, Alex Loglia on Bill Cooper on the Germ Theory. And it's about 4 hours, and basically I just clipped out a lot of the sounds and music that are not relevant to the conversation. And it's just
very
fantastic.
Enjoyable.
Thank you. And let me just skip ahead here and see what I hear. See if you can hear this. It's the 5 minute
the
mark.
The single most
it's not the best audio
influence on the medical profession of the modern era. Before I even don't even know exactly what you have done, but already you have reported it, patented it, and sold it.
So basically, Alex is just reading a few books that basically go through the genesis of the germ theory. Well, the germ theory is the idea that our bodies are invaded by foreign substances, and therefore it's a war. It's a war metaphor. So we're invaded, and we have to use some kind of treatment to get the virus out of us. And this is the wrong way of looking at it. This is the wrong metaphor. And it takes a lot of conditioning or deconditioning or reprogramming to get the idea that we're being invaded by viruses. Now, I've always said with regards to this PSYOP, if we can get rid of the idea that we are invaded by a virus that we can pass by coughing on each other, then it will blow the whole PSYOP apart. And then the whole idea of why we're deconstructing and decomposing the economy, basically destroying it and rebuilding it so humans are far away from each other in every single way, is a complete nonsensical reaction because you can't catch a virus. So that's really what I'm trying to promote here. If we can promote this idea, then it might help people understand that the reaction is completely manufactured separate from the reaction, but it's an excuse to destroy the economy. It's just an excuse.
Yep.
And 100%. To rebuild it with their companies that will receive their money, government money, to rebuild. So it's like a giant robbery. It's a giant heist, and that's what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah. Controlled demolition.
It's a controlled demolition, Tom Delper in Cambridge. Absolutely. That's the whole point. It's a controlled demolition, and even if you think there's a virus, this is the other thing. Even if you believe there's a virus, the evidence is not there all around us that anyone of normal health is getting sick with anything. So the idea that everyone has this virus, which is true in the sense that we all have microzymes in our body for our own purpose and own defense, but the idea that everyone has it and doesn't know it, they're not showing symptoms, which is sort of true, but the idea that it can be transmitted, that's the falsehood. So the idea that even if you believe that, the evidence states the hospitals are empty, no one except older people are dying of the normal dis-ease that comes from being old and having a weakened terrain, and the reaction is completely out of proportion. And you'll hear normal media saying that and somewhat disputing it, but overall, normal people who can just use their own senses can see that there is no outbreak, there is no massive wave of dying or sick people. In any capacity.
Now this week, one of the most positive things that was getting shared, not by the Australian Facebook types, but by people in Ireland and the UK, was the success Sweden has had by not locking down and not doing anything and not social distancing. And they've smashed it, according to those statistics that they're waving about. And then you've got New Zealand, who have gone... I'm an embarrassed ex-New Zealander, that's all I'm going to say. They've locked themselves in, they don't go to the beach, they've lost 41% of small business has gone broke. But they're waving this banner that we've beaten it. But they've lost 41% of their own small business. And they've got a socialist leader, the horrific suspect... sexuality of whatever that prime minister's name is that I can't quite remember at this stage. It's Sweden's done it without doing all that ridiculousness, and they've got the same results, almost carbon copy results, where Sweden didn't lock anything down and behaved completely normally, as far as I can see. Apparently, wasn't there a Swede? Didn't we have a Swedish guy on here recently?
We've had. Delete the Elites in Sweden. Maybe another guy. Yeah, we've had quite a few different people come by the Fakeologist Discord.
I wish he was back here tonight to back it up, what's being reported. But apparently the same stats that New Zealand got, Sweden got, without locking anything down or doing social distancing, or losing 41% of small business.
Yes, and the business is still declining here because we haven't been allowed to open up. Well, we want to go from here. I could play another really good video that I've got so much stuff on fakeologist.com, and my intent is one of these days I just want to go through my blog, but I know this is the fart Thecologist Audio or Australian Roundtable, even though we're missing half the Australians today.
Well, I don't know where the fuck they've gone, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
They're not reliable, Rick. Rick, you and I are reliable. Listen to this predictive programming that I put on FakeTube, which is from a Television show from over 10 years ago featuring Ice Cube, and Ice Cube was the... Was he a rapper?
I guess
Jury would know more than I do.
He was very big. Now he's a Disney actor.
Yeah, how serious is this monkey flu?
Not serious at all, because it's not true. See, the government likes to covertly test the emergency response system every once in a while to see how people mobilize, the authorities respond, and the public react.
Wait a minute. So this is just a drill?
Exactly. They do it all the time. You remember H1N1?
Yeah.
A drill. Remember SARS?
Yeah.
A drill. Y'all remember the bird flu?
Was a drill too?
No, that one was true. Don't mess with them birds.
And what about my mom?
Did they say she was a carrier?
She just got back from Mexico. She got all kinds of symptoms, like cramping, vomiting.
Did she drink the water?
She said she just had margaritas.
Straight up or blended?
Blended, I think.
Blended with ice cubes from Mexican water.
Now, that's kind of funny because, of course, his name is Ice Cube, but that is totally true.
Where was that from?
This is from a television show with Ice Cube in it from 2006 or so.
Oh, man. Have you shared that to the...
Of course. It's at fakeologist.com/blog. I'm really encouraging you, Rick, as a participant here to listen to the blog and read it, because I basically just pulled the best stuff. That's actually the idea that ice cubes actually can have the problem in it goes way back to an Encyclopedia Brown detective little book I read when I was a little guy.
I read them.
That was the only book I solved. I could never solve any of the mysteries, but they were trying to figure out how you got lemonade in a glass when no one had lemonade. And it was because they froze lemonade as an ice cube and put it in the glass. And that's sort of what he's saying here is, you know, you're so careful not to drink the water in third world countries because you're worried they're not chemically treated properly to get rid of bacteria and cholera.
And I got sick from ice cubes in Thailand.
And that's right. So they don't filter the water typically for ice cubes, but of course ice cubes can be just as bad once they melt. But the point is, this is called what I call preconditioning. It's just giving you the idea that through a comedy show where you're not likely to take it seriously because it's Ice Cube talking, who's a rapper on a comedy show, but he is actually speaking truth, ex-member of
NWA,
okay.
We won't say the N-word
out of respect for our black audience. Go ahead.
Supposedly it's the creative head of that operation.
And he got his payoff was a Disney contract. So Ice Cube's now doing kids. I rented them for my kids years ago.
Well, he's an influencer. He's an influencer.
Yeah, he plays the new Chevy Chase, basically, if you can imagine that.
So I know what she got, all right? She got a slight case of Montezuma's Revenge with a little case of the BG. That's the bubble guts.
Does that mean we can leave?
No, y'all have to stay here. See, the head of the CDC, they the only ones who know it's a drill. So if y'all leave, I'm sorry, they're going to have to take you out.
You're stuck in this house for 12 more hours?
That's what your cars are for. I'm out. I got the rendezvous with my unit up in the Nevada desert. We going to Vegas.
And this is made by Russian Bits. And I'm actually a patron of Russian Viz. And I actually encourage people to here's the words from the Logical song. And, of course, I've heard the Logical song from Supertramp from the 70s 1,000 times.
One of my favorite songs
of all times. But when he puts the lyrics on the screen and I'm reading them at the same time I'm hearing the song, and, of course, I knew what the lyrics were. But when you read them out, it says, there are times when all the world's asleep. The questions run too deep for such a simple man. Won't you please tell me what we've learned? I know it sounds absurd, but please tell me.
You're listening to another hour of the Neurologist Audio Chat.
Think.
Yeah. Kind of relevant.
One of the beauties of this research is that you can make sense of these things after all these years, don't you think? You suddenly
sure.
think, oh, God, that's what that lyric was about. Understand it now. So that's
Roger Hodgson was a very clever songwriter.
Still is. He's still going.
And such a talent, man. I shared some of his solo stuff, which has been scrubbed off the net for some reason. He did a really good song, which kind of really, off his solo album, and it actually exposes a whole lot of other things by this, you know, it's called I Had a Dream, or Had a Dream by Roger Hodgson. Google it, or if you can find it.
Yeah, I've heard this. And let me look for it. I Had a Dream.
So I'll just, a little point I wanted to make about that Ice Cube thing. It was the canned laughter, wasn't it? I mean, how sort of sick do you get? Yeah. H1N1 was a hoax? Canned laughter. I mean, it's making a joke.
But that's a great find. So it was Russian Vids that found that.
Russian Vids. Does this sound like it?
No, this is a great song.
Oh, this is the Roger Hodgson song. It is a great great song. It doesn't show the date of it, of course. It is a great song. It's on the album In the Eye of the Storm. It's the solo debut, actually, by Roger.
It is. But if you listen to his lyrics, very, very esoteric.
It says, Roger not only sings on this album, but plays almost every instrument as well.
He's a talent. He's like Tom D.
What a great song, you're right. I'm going to have to check the lyrics.
But the lyrics are powerful, trust me.
I know the song. Well, the song opens up with Jesus in a room. But I'll put the link here in the D5.
Excellent.
It's in D-Live. I just put the link. Sorry, it's in It's in my everything chat. I've got YouTube chat going. I've got Periscope chat. I've got D-Live chat.
By the way, I checked out YouTube. And it's a bit of a delay, but it's working perfectly.
Well, there's always going to be a delay because you've got to go from my server to another server to YouTube.
Roger's about to sing.
You got a long intro. I remember this part. I'm sorry, it's a little soft. I don't like to play entire songs. Not everyone likes the music.
Now, Mr. Focologist, can I just have a little... I want to talk about... Dave J this week and I have had a meeting of the minds.
No.
And yes, we have. And
I thought you guys are hacking away at each other in the Discord.
Not anymore, because Tom D, and he's there to back it up, he said to me, you guys, don't let him... just think of him as something, you know. Don't let him get to you as an entity.
Think of him as an angry fakeologist savant. Maybe.
Savant, but absolutely. And so anyway, I thought, you know, fuck that. I'm not going to get angry anymore.
He comes across as angry and toxic, but he knows something.
But he does, and I've always said that, like, you can even go back on the fart podcast that we did years ago. I always said the guy means what he says what he means. Anyway, so I read one of his posts and I was looking at it and I went, He was talking about Bitcoin, and he put in brackets after the bit, he put E, like bite, coin. And I went, I know that, you know, coin and mouth thing. So I Googled it, and I found the legend of the coin in the mouth. And it was the transition of the dead to the other side of to the River Styx. They'd put a coin in your mouth. And I found the legend of it. And it was actually not just a Greek legend. It was a Roman legend. An Egyptian legend. It was a Norse legend. And it was also a legend in the British. The Picts had the same thing. So before the dead went to the across to the other side, they had a coin pushed in their mouth. And I went... bang, and I went, and I shared that, and I said, thank you, because I've been wondering what the whole thing about Bitcoin or Bitcoin meant, and he, just by reading his, he didn't mean it, but he sent a message to me saying, thank you, because he didn't realize that either, and all I right. said, well.
So you're in support of Dave J, J, because Dave J can come across very strongly to new members,
when we talk about the esoteric and metaphysics.
Exoteric.
It is, and I hold the candle up, but it was through reading his little post that I woke up to what I'd been, I had literally lied awake at night thinking, Bitcoin, they bite, but I suddenly, it dawned on me what it meant. And then cryptocurrency, the crypt, what do you put into a crypt?
Dead somebody people. Dead.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, it's in front of your face. Bitcoin is the coin in you stick in your mouth as you go across to be put in your crypt. So thank you, Dave J. And I said it to him. I messaged him. And so, you know, I'm really happy about the end of the week.
All right. I want to go to my very good talk. And by the way, we're joined in, if I can look in the Discord server in the audio chat live stream, even though they're listening in, anybody can now listen in on YouTube or DLive or Periscope. But listening into the Discord server, and anyone can join the Discord server, by the way, you just have to go to fakeologist.com and look on the right side, and you'll see a link to the Discord. There's no invite code. You can just click the connect button and join. And then you'll go into the unverified room. And if I look in the unverified room now, we have some people to come in, and you'll be greeted by a bot. You'll be greeted by Benoit, who will ask you some questions and make sure you're in the right place. And then you can basically join if you haven't stumbled upon Fakeologist by accident. So we want to make sure you have the right Fakeologist mindset. But in the audio chat live stream now, we have Farsalia in Florida and Missam, and we have Wayfarer. So any
Wayfarer, you guys want to
chime in and say hi, you can.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How is everybody?
Hi, man. Fantastic. Good to hear from you.
And Wayfarer is in Canberra, which is the capital of Australia, where all the big decisions are made.
Yep.
I want to point out a post on fakeologist.com. We call it Canada Coup. Now, if you know, if you're a Canadian or old enough, there used to be, I don't know if there still is, something called Canada Cup, which is a big hockey tournament we used to have here. I can't remember who was invited because I'm not a super big fan, but I call this Canada Coup because it appears to me that we have all our premiers and prime ministers here on TV every day at about the same time, midday. And they almost always are telling us nothing. They're just basically saying this thing is going to keep going on. So I called that a bit of a coup. It's a bit of a coup d'etat. So I created this post because I was getting really agitated by the situation, and I still am. And I called the new power lineup in Canada. So I say that our new prime minister is Dr. Theresa Tam. Now, who is she? She's a WHO official that I believe was brought up in Britain. And she is Canada's chief medical officer. So she is the chief representative of the WHO in Canada. So literally, we pay her over almost $300,000, tax dollars, of course, because she's a bureaucrat on the public payroll. But she is totally trained and has her marching order. She's a lieutenant in the WHO army. That's really who we need to acknowledge as the real enemy here. It's not China. Come on. That's too easy. That's too easy for people to grasp. People need to grasp the WHO, the World Health Organization, that's funded mainly or quite well by Bill Gates and his behind-the-scenes oligarchs that run this world. So our new prime minister is Dr. Theresa Tam. Now, in Ontario, where I live, the chief medical officer, who I looked up, and anyone can look up anyone in the public who makes over $100,000, which is almost all of them, by the way. So you can get almost every public official except maybe a clerk at your local licensing office. But anyway, the chief medical officer of Ontario is Dr. David Williams, and he is the most powerful man in Ontario. So I call him our premier, because every time our elected guy gets up to tell us what's going on, he just says, well, I can only do with what our chief medical officer has to say. And he says, we are on, I don't know what part of the curve anymore. We have this model, this curve. So I think we've already flattened it, but you know, when you step on something, sometimes it jumps up over on another side, so maybe the curve is going back up. So I call him our premier. Now I call our Pope, Bill Gates, because I think Bill Gates is the head representative of the WHO, because even though he dropped out of high school or university, he is still considered, in his mind at least, a doctor. Now I call our new religion epidemiology, which is just the study of epidemics, even though this isn't a real one, this is what they call it. I call our false prophet Dr. Fauci, who is the head of the CDC, or he's not head of the CDC, he's head of the National Health Organization, whatever it's called, NIHO, or I can't remember what it's called, but he's the head doctor who's been doing this health fraud since the AIDS days. Now, I call our new God the WHO, the World Health Organization. I call our new devil COVID-19, because everything we are doing is a reaction to this, so the devil is making us do it. Now, as for Parliament here, Parliament is essentially suspended. Because we have this Emergency Measures Act, which is an all-powerful bill, that it basically suspends our Constitution, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So our Parliament is effectively suspended. So that means that we're under medical martial law.
Yes.
So that is our new legal system. So Canada is under medical martial law, which means, again, that our top medical bureaucrat, Dr. Theresa Tam, is essentially the dictator of Canada. Because everything
that makes sense, because we are at war. People are risking their life at the front line. And that lady, she is the general. So since we are at war, she has war power. That's the logic behind it. Please.
It is a War Measures Act. It's not called that. We do have a War Measures Act, but in effect, we have declared the War Measures Act probably looks exactly the same as the Emergency Management Act or whatever we're in. We have an Emergency Measures Act in Canada. We have Emergency Measures Act or similar name in Ontario. The city of Toronto, where I am, has an Emergency Measures Act. Every single one of them has enacted that law, and they keep extending it. That's the main thing.
That's on the news. That's on the news. They are repeating the keyword, which are frontline, risking their life, heroes. So it creates a climate of war in the mind of the people that consume the news.
Yes, we have Forrest Value chiming in from Florida.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Want to weigh in on this idea of this medical martial law. It's very unusual because in a wartime situation, the president and politicians, the civilian leadership class, would not defer to the generals for decisions as far as whether to go to war or whether to pull out of a conflict or who they should go to war with. Those decisions are made at the civilian level. And so this has sort of overturned the traditional model of civilians giving orders to the generals to maybe wage war.
Well, that's why it's a military coup. It's a military, medical military coup.
Right, exactly.
When the military sets the direction of the army because they don't trust the politicians, that's always the excuse. This leader is incompetent. The military has to take over. So it's
The problem with that is that there's this question, and I see this all the time with people. The only side of the debate that people are considering as if it's the only thing in the world that exists is this virus, notwithstanding the fact that you can't catch one. But even assuming you can, the idea that the only thing we need to think about right now is the virus, rather than whether the response to this virus is going to be worse. It's like having the medical community being able to weigh economic decisions and calculate the fallout of their decisions that they're making to lock down the country and all this stuff. Those are not medical calculations. Those are political and economic calculations. And nobody's looking at that side of the debate. I mean, this is all my intention, I know. But that's just, even for someone that wants to operate within the normal paradigm of politics and left-right, that should be part of the debate that I'm not hearing at all, of course, you know.
Yes, yes. I did hear a couple, those two doctors who looked like, you know, put in place deliberately, but they were saying things along those lines the other day, how the measures to combat this so-called virus are worse than are causing really serious consequences. I did hear that said once by those two doctors I've posted.
But, I do think those are controlled opposition, because they did say, you know, locking down the country was the correct thing and testing is the answer. So I'm not really a fan.
No. I was just saying, you make a very good point. It's illogical, isn't it? Someone should be standing up and saying that. Just the point you made. This is absurd. And those doctors are just giving a presentation of accountability.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're overthrowing however many X thousands of years of human progress and saying we have to stop everything because there's a virus. And that's the only thing to be considered, when there's many, many other things to be considered besides this virus.
I can give you an example of that. I was watching a movie about some guys that made a bet against the market in 2007. Against the housing market particularly. And those guys were quite happy about the money they were about to make. And some of them, the character that was played by Brad Pitt, of all people, he stopped and said, but you shouldn't be that happy. Because if the unemployment rate goes up 3%, that is 50,000 people that were to die. So my point is that the destruction of the economy, the loss of employment, and the social climate in general will probably cause many, many, many more deaths than any epidemic will have done or whatever, even if it's true, even if the numbers are right, even if we were to believe the CDC. It will be worse what is happening to the economy right now than any type of disease will ever do.
And people should notice. Because the response is so out of proportion, and they're even admitting it, why don't people see that this is two different events merged into one? The controlled demolition of the economy so that they can rebuild it with their corporations receiving incredible amounts of public money, trillions of dollars. And the only ones that are going to receive it are the ones that are still solvent. And that's the big boys. The little guys are left to die a very tortuous death over a long period of time, because they know what the game plan is. They know the timeline. But the idea that they can lie week after week saying, making up stories about an imaginary model, which of course is just a phony model, but they claim it's all they've got, where it's just a projection, but it's just their way of drawing this out over time. If they told everyone, your business is shut, it's not coming back, then there may be a stronger reaction, although I'm not too confident that people would do anything if they were just told you have to shut down for good, you know. But honestly, it's quite destructive. But when I watch our premier get up and talk, I just say, this is a lame duck. It's a neutered man. He's gelded. He's powerless because he's saying the same nonsense every single day. And the other great divide that they've created is all the public employees are still being paid. And we have it says here we have 60,000 employees in Ontario. If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time App does a show. Thank you for your support. Now, if you want to support, if you just look on the website here, I'm highlighting on the right side the donate section. We have a very easy subscribe for $1.19 a month, which is half the price of a coffee. You can just click this button, and you can also have a one-time donation. And we have some very generous people in the room today, including Farce Value. Made a nice donation here. I really appreciate that. And it's as easy as clicking here. We also are on Patreon. If you click this button right here, then you can also join through that method. I'm a Patreon of many, many different sites. It seems like it's a lot easier. I know Patreon takes a bigger cut, but when it's just a dollar that you're paying a month to various sites, it's just a nice way to encourage people to not be addicted to, well, I guess YouTube's not probably paying anymore anyway of any substance. So it's just a good way to support. And if you would buy a paper, a newspaper, then you could easily be a patron of different YouTube channels. And I support, full disclosure, even though it's not really a big deal, I support Russian Vids, PK, I think. Some of them have a little more than a dollar a month. That's their minimum that they set. I just started patronizing Odd TV, which this guy is sort of a tough rapper sounding guy, but I don't know if he does his own videos, but they're very high quality.
Yes.
And they're very good.
To come back on the point you were making about Canada and the 60,000 employees, I like it.
That's not Canada.
The quote from Doug Ford was magnificent about people not getting their feet out and drinking margaritas on government money.
Yeah, exactly. He says, Doug Ford, listen, I told you the story about how he got into power, okay? His brother had all the charisma. They sort of look the same. They're both super big guys. Rob Ford got in because he said he wasn't going to spend any public money, which he didn't. He didn't have an office budget. He used his own money, which was fine. It's sort of a gimmick, but it was fine. But Rob Ford, I don't think, wanted to go to the next level. And his brother is the one with the ambition. So they staged a phony death, which I think it was. Nobody else talks about this. And they brought, that was to create a couple chess moves on the political board where we live, where one guy who wanted to be premier that nobody liked would become mayor of Toronto, which is almost as powerful because our city is as big as the rest of the province on its own. So they're sort of equal. And then Doug, the brother, would become premier with some jiggery-pokery to get in as premier.
Yes,
well, that was the power play that was moved. Nobody knows about that. Nobody talks about it. That's my theory. I think that's what happened. So Doug is sort of a regular guy. I don't think he's university educated. He's not a lawyer. But he comes across as an everyman, which is fine. I don't mind that. I think it's great that an everyman can be premier. He talks like an everyman, but he's had a little bit of training, you can see, where he says, let's be very clear, which is a performative statement. This is a speaking technique that I recognize immediately now. So he always says, let's be clear, let's be friends. He's sort of like, he likes to emulate Donald Trump as well.
Yes, and the disappearance of the brother is a political technique that has been used many times. On modern times, I can think of the example of Lesch, and I don't know the name of the other guy, Kaczynski. That was the two twins. One was the premier of Poland, and he was the president, and he took his brother, and his brother died. So that is one of them. And there are many stories like that. For example, also Benjamin Netanyahu got known in Israel because his brother was a war hero, Yoni Netanyahu, that was killed during the raid on Entebbe, where a plane
raid on Entebbe. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and at that time, Benjamin Netanyahu was not well known in Israel, but the burial of his brother brought him to the light, and we all know what became of him. So I think that it's a common tactic when you have a set of brothers that are in the public eye and one of them is more talentuous or more well-known but is not as interested as the other. You just put the glory of the first one on the second one, sort of.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a synchronicity where they help each other, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rick, you want to chime in? We kind of dominated the airwaves a bit. But yeah.
The other performative that I like is what I really want everyone to understand is, or things like that.
Yeah, their sense is that they don't say anything, but they draw your attention to what's going to be said next. It's a great speaking technique when you're trying to just fill time. Yeah, you work in public production there of these politicians, so you probably know all the tricks by now, Farsvalia. You've probably heard it all.
I mean, the performatives are very common. Like, and it's sort of what it's saying is the next thing I'm about to say doesn't necessarily have to be true. And the first part is a caveat. What I want people to understand is you're not telling them the truth. You're telling something you want them to understand, which may not necessarily be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as far as, I mean, there's no real tricks. I've shaking hands with a bunch of these politicians and, you know, they come out and they do their thing and speak and it's all about just the delivery and what they're saying. And normally it's just an opportunity for the local elite to glad hand with those people and probably try to curry favor and
yeah,
get the money in exchange for favors later.
But that's a big divide we have here is public and private employees. The public guys are still all getting paid, and Doug Ford knows it, and the teachers are given a huge bonus to settle their strike, and of course they haven't worked since March, so that's basically time off. I know they say they're working from home, but let's be honest, that's not really happening the way it should be. Looks like I posted this thing on Bill Gates twice for some bizarre reason, but I was looking at the genealogy because I keep hearing that Bill Gates is Bill Gates III. So I actually went to genie.com and clicked on Bill Gates, and they go right back to the ship, the Diligence, that came over from Sussex, England, which
funny
I thought
that
was interesting.
Funny that. And that'll be very, very interesting to see who is great grandparents were,
and you can it's put on there, so it's there if you want to look at it. But
okay,
he goes way back, and usually Miles Mathis does that.
Well, there's no this debating that the guy is a made man. You know, like you just have to have a look at him physically, and he's not a great specimen of inbreeding. If you want to say inbreeding produces a champion race, he doesn't look like one. He sounds like Kermit the Frog crossed with another Sesame Street character. He gesticulates continuously. Like, I mean, he's been given really good advice on keep your hands moving because they can tell they won't look at you lying. That there's a technique there.
Oh right, the hand movement. That's a
the
technique,
hand movement
isn't it?
Is a technique to keep you from looking at what he's doing, and his eyes are he's lying basically everything he says, but the way he waves his hand about it distracts you. It's a very clever technique that they've, you know, you watch it, it's used quite a lot actually. But he's the fool guy. Why would you do that to yourself? Come out and have you seen his wife, for God's sake? I mean, she's not a good looker, and I'd like to see a frank analysis of his wife. she looks like a bloke. I don't want to go too far into that one. But
I know,
we
can, yeah, she does. Now, yeah. Here's the good video I'll play on YouTube right now. We had a little bit of a pretty exciting protest in the Michigan legislature and the state capital of Lansing. There's a little video. You can see the Masonic checkerboard floor here. I think we can watch this video now. It was kind of exciting because Michigan. The thing I found about this video, I'll just skip ahead, is there's a couple of video images.
You bleep
This guy is in the legislature with a rifle.
You betrayed us!
So I thought that was pretty interesting, that my idea about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, of course, is that if the citizenry is well armed, then they at least maybe the people that pass the laws will think twice about limiting their freedoms. So that to me is the point of the Second Amendment. It's not so we can stop people from shooting each other over drug deals. It's really to protect the people against government.
Yeah, tyranny.
Tyranny. Which, right. Really, we are under a medical tyranny. There's no ways about it.
Oh, we are. But sadly.
And I'm so excited. I'm so proud of the Michiganders, where my mother's from.
And like you.
They actually are standing up.
Indeed. Flu and pneumonia deaths this year are reported by MDHHS. According to the CDC,
I like this
COVID-19
here.
And the flu have largely the same
These
symptoms.
These guys sitting here with their assault rifles at
Wonderful.
The protest, and they're allowed. You know, that's an American right. If anyone's going to get us out of this mess, it's America.
Yeah,
and Canada is integrated with these American states.
Rifles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, look. On the
but by contrast, in Canada. Our Prime Minister just banned 1,500, which is an interesting number, 1,500 different, what he calls, assault rifles.
Yeah.
And
sounds,
he did that.
He sounds like our Prime Minister of New Zealand.
He did it by decree. Decree. Ooh. Does anyone know what decree means? Because the Parliament
is
under emergency. We're under emergency act, which means that he can pass... It's not even a law. It's a decree. Only a king or a dictator can decree something. There's no legislation.
Rollo. Yeah, mate.
Rollo, let's talk about John Howard did to us 24 years ago.
Yeah.
And you've been there.
Down in Port Arthur.
Mate. Port Arthur.
Yeah.
Yep. 24
yeah.
Years ago.
That's this week, yeah. Anniversary. I went down there. Yeah. I was going to bring up. It was one of those things, in 1988, this was really telling. Barry Unsworth, New South Wales Premier, said we won't have gun control, and this is his words, until there's a massacre in Tasmania. And sure enough, that was in 1988, and then it happened so that was 8 years later.
It was made to order.
And the rifles...
Yeah, and I went down there, Rab, to check it out. And it was a very controlled, there's only one way in, it's very, I think Martin Bryan had the IQ of a glass of water, he had an IQ of 70, there's no way, he had no gun experience, and apparently the shooter, apparently in Broad Arrow Cafe, got, 20 headshots out of 22.
20, no, he got 20 head and heart shots, the same number, 22 head and heart shots, within 25 seconds.
Mm.
Look, impossible.
And I'm not even. Yeah, I've read the book. I've read a book this guy wrote, this journalist guy, and he mysteriously died a few years afterwards.
The Port Arthur Deception. I've got his book.
That's the one. Yeah, you've read that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some Italian guy wrote it, and some journalist. And
go ahead.
Yeah. Whether it was a host. Or not, I'm not sure. What are your thoughts on that, Rick? Do you think people were actually killed that day?
I'm going with the dead thing, only because I've been, talked to a lot of different people. And the fact they demolished the site, so there's no way you can go and do an inquiry.
Oh, yeah, straight away.
They demolished it before.
Yeah, but they said the guy that did the shooting was... A really pimply, ugly looking fella.
Yeah, no, that's
and,
there was
and
two,
Martin
two,
Bryan.
Two,
Martin Bryan,
two
good looking guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's
really
no reason. There's no reason for it to be anything other than a hyper realistic Joe Portillo's reel, mainly because it's much simpler and there's less paperwork to do. So we just had one here in Canada where it was as odd. This one was a real insult to thinking people. Where the script was basically on the television 2 weeks before under the FBI Most Wanted television series. The guy in the show had the same first name. So they're just mocking you, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I have not
that's
I've
the
not
level.
Investigated.
But that's the level of the deception. They are slapping you in the face with a wet fish, telling you this is a television show.
Rick.
It's a script.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Roland. Go.
Yeah, Rick, do you remember Stuart Littlemore? He did Media Watch back then. You know, he was someone I respected. And what the newspaper did to make Martin Bryant, because he was a good-looking kid, they photoshopped his eyes to make him look white and look really menacing, and they did all sorts of tricks to stitch this guy up. And he'd there's rumors he went
I'll tell you, I know a fair bit about it, but so he refused to plead guilty. He refused to plead guilty whatsoever. He said, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it." And what they did, because he had a very low IQ, but his only close friend was his little sister that he used to talk to, and they said, you can't see your little sister until you plead guilty. And so he pled guilty just to see his little sister. Yeah, so it was a whole...
And that's then stopped the trial, then there wouldn't have been, because the trial would have... Yeah, then a lot of people would have been looking at it.
It could have been fake, okay, but they definitely made him plead guilty by threatening him with, because he wasn't allowed to see he wasn't allowed to see his favourite people. And they said,
that's right. And he lost his benefactor because he came into a lot of money because he was in a car accident. Remember, and that that rich woman left him $700,000 or something. And
So I've got on the screen if anyone can see it. I can. Let's see. There's only a few people actually watching. I only have two viewers: one on Periscope and one on YouTube. And I'll say a shout out to Napoleon Wilson. Napoleon Wilson. Well, I only have 11. And could everyone go to my YouTube channel number 2, fakeologist.com/BSinBravo/YouTube2? Can you all go there and subscribe to that channel, please? I only have Napoleon Wilson, Millennium Fall Con. He's watching on the YouTube channel.
Hello, Napoleon. Hello, Napoleon.
Actually, it says I got two people watching. Yep. Okay, there's two people it says watching.
What's it called again? What's your YouTube again? What's it again called?
Well, if you search it, the only way I could find it in a search on YouTube is you have to type in the word I'm a fakeologist. Okay.
All right. We'll do.
I'm a loony.
But the link is fakeologist.com/BSinBravo/YouTube2, the number 2.
Yeah.
That will always be the link to the channel, no matter if it's deleted or not. So on the screen, if you go over there, you can take a peek at a graphic that I pulled off of somewhere, Twitter, or I don't know. I look at so many things. And it's actually a picture, a crop circle-like picture of a representation of Corona with the Windows logo in the middle. Sure. So that's kind of fun.
Can I do a shout-out?
Go ahead.
Please. YouTuber by the, he goes under Computing Forever. His name's Dave Cullen. He's a Irishman who's he's a ginger. He's got freckles and no soul. I shouldn't say that.
Dave Cullen,
like a racist, doesn't it? And Dave Cullen, Computing Forever, and he's done some fabulous YouTubes on this coronavirus, and if you he's done some great interviews too, and he started out believing this Corona thing. And
so
now
no
he's
doubt,
almost,
still plenty
he's almost,
of...
sorry.
Okay, go ahead. I'm just looking at his channel now. Go ahead.
Yep, and he started out completely believing this, and now he's almost where we are, whereas, it's whatever you want to call it, like the powers that should not be have shown their hand, and he knows it, that it's nothing to do with the virus and these ridiculous
apps. Should I subscribe to him? If you're looking on the screen,
I think you should, He's
I'll
a great guy.
I'll click the subscribe button and I'll bell it. Yeah. I got so many. Hold on a sec.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, I'm Del Qua, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Oh,
hey, Del.
Hey, Del.
I've kissed him.
Start off this video by giving you this crude spectrum. And on one side, you have people who are against vaccinations completely. And on the other end, the people who want mandatory vaccinations. I find that if you question the idea of a mandatory vaccine, there's a percentage of people who immediately jump down your neck and claim that you must be an anti-vaxxer. This is the problem with such divisive topics that have become so partisan, heavily politicized, and fraught with personal bias. Everything becomes binary.
Yeah, he's Irish, yep.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that. I belled him. He's a little suspicious.
That's a really good video, that one that you were just playing.
He has 435,000 subscribers, so he's
bloody hell.
Has this mainstream taste to it. But I'm going to...
If you play that video a little bit longer, he says, I'll take mandatory vaccines over my dead body.
Well, that's what really... you say. That's why you like him. That's something that Rollo would say.
I'll tell you a story, Ab.
You've told it a thousand times.
Oh, yeah. When my grandfather was vaccinated to come to Australia, was dead 2 hours later.
I know. We've heard it. It's very good. It's a good story.
He got sick straight away, and then he took a bath, turned blue, and died.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't want to be too conspiratorial either, but my doctor convinced me to get a tetanus shot in February, and within a few weeks, I was really sick. Now, I don't know what it was. It could have been food poisoning, but I called the restaurant to complain, and he said it wasn't him, the manager, so... But now that I think about it, maybe it was the tetanus shot. But it didn't happen 2 hours later, though. So it's really hard to correlate the two. Yeah. But that was a mistake.
Just stick a needle in you, and you don't know what it is.
It was such a weak point. It was such a weak point because he just, he poured it on hard, the propaganda.
What did you do? Step on a nail or something? Why'd you get the tetanus shot for?
Because he just asked. Well, he said, "What do you do?" And it was a weak point because he said, he just gave it to his wife and he was just pouring on the prop. It was a weak point. And, my idea about vaccines is they either do nothing or they cause harm. I don't think they do any good. Let's put it that way. So, yeah.
But what Dave Cullen says in that video you just played, our Irish friend there, he says the way they'll get you with these vaccinations and air travel will be the first point of call where you won't be able to go on a commercial airline if they ever bring that back. But he's big on to how it's going to cause more deaths. The cure is worse than this pandemic where we've got nurses dancing in hospitals. No one's, bring out your dead. This pandemic is obviously not real, and the amount of people that are going to die from this, because suicide is going to go way up.
No, I agree. And now that you mention it, this is what I love about the internet. But watching Jason Goodman, who is a guy that walks around New York, has a big following on YouTube, and we're finding all these new characters on YouTube with this coronavirus pandemic. Anyway, he does streeters. He goes on the street with his phone camera and not professionally, but he does a pretty good job of interviewing people at demonstrations. There's a tiny demonstration at the New York City Mayor's Gracie Mansion there. And he bumped into one guy who did a quick interview with him. And the guy said he had worked, Jason asked, why are you here? And he said, I'm just protesting with everybody else. And he said he'd worked on a movie called Vaxxed 2. And Jason said, what is that? Is that a follow-up to Vaxxed, which was the movie you remember that Robert De Niro was involved with, and it became a big protest over, and that made it even more popular. But anyway, there is a movie called Vaxxed 2, and I looked it up on YouTube, and it's free. And it's the follow-up to Vax, where basically they took a camera while they were on tour for Vax 1, and they even rented a bus to get people to come to the bus and tell their vaccine damage stories. And I'll tell you, I'm only 22 minutes into this video, and it is very depressing, where unless all these people are actors, which we always have that possibility in our minds as fakeologists, but it doesn't appear that way. So all these parents that come up to the bus with their vaccine damaged children, it is so depressing. It is such a downer. It is so awful. Can you imagine as a parent, and Rick, you're a parent, if this happened to your child and you've got grown men in diapers because they're vaccine damaged. It's just, oh, it's just, it's an awful story. Yeah, I'm not trying to bring the mood down. But
No, but Ab, it's a fact. And I mean, I deal, look, I know lots of people, and the amount of people my age that have got a child with autism is phenomenal. It's just, it's more the norm than it's not the norm. And it's clearly something has caused these children to go.
Yeah, and so many of these children, so many of these stories, the child is vaccinated. Within an hour, they've lost some cognitive function where they become mute and they become dull. They become
Rollo, they call
autistic. It's
Andrew Wakefield. Andrew Wakefield wrote the book Callous Disregard, and he goes all through it. And he was the mainstream media, and Bill Gates had a go at him. And he was just.
And my only problem with that is he's only against the MMR vaccine, which is measles, rubella. Mm. He's only against combining the vaccines. He doesn't speak out about vaccines.
Yeah, he's very light on
general.
It. And they still, you're right. He still had to go. And this is the worst part.
Is he controlled opposition? Is that not the point? The point is
he got kicked out of England and had to go and live in Texas.
It doesn't matter because he might be the controlled opposition, where he's implying that vaccines are fine except this one. That's the problem with him.
Yeah, and he's going out with Elle Macpherson now, Rollo, just quietly.
And see, good luck to him. You've got to start somewhere, Ab. Just back to vaccine injury for a second. The thing that really pisses me off about vaccine injury, you can't fucking sue the pharmaceutical companies. You go and apply, for money from the public, from the taxpayer. They've got it in a way, so they're not even.
He deaf and acted like he couldn't hear, although they did have normal hearing. I had it all tested, but he lost his happiness. This is a first birthday.
3 months after the shot.
3 months after the shot, they were no longer engaged in anything or anyone. They lost their smiles. They just were in their own little separate worlds. They never held hands again. They never looked at each other again.
Heartbreaking.
Sorry.
This woman had triplets, I guess. That really kind of seals it when one after the other just went down in front of her.
And that's the only problem I have with John Le Bon when he says these guys are just having a joke. The elite, just having a joke with us. They're not having a joke. You've got this mandatory vaccine. It's a real thing. People are suffering, and I know so many people personally that have an autistic child, and they all were vaccinated. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, it's just the pain that they go through every day. It's just it's mind blowing.
Rick, we in Australia we had a thing called shaken baby syndrome, and this is insidious because
what vaccine that? We don't know that burst anymore.
They burst the blood vessels and so rather than blame the vaccine, they blame the parents for shaking their baby. The vaccine has obviously done the injury, and it's disgusting.
You know what's funny? It brings me back. We had a big story back here in the early 80s where we had this nurse in our hospital for sick children, which I'm a donor of as well because my child was in there for life-saving work. And her name was Susan Nellis, and she was a nurse that was accused of killing children, babies. But I'm wondering, because she was acquitted eventually. But her name was dragged through the mud. And I'm just wondering if this could have also been a cover for maybe some kind of drug or vaccine they were administering, and they've tried to blame one person over.
Guaranteed.
Because all these big events where they say, oh, this nurse is a rogue nurse and she was killing children, it just goes against every medical person's Hippocratic oath. Whereas maybe they were administering some kind of approved drug, whatever it was, and that caused many deaths, and they just tried to pin it on one person or make that person the distraction from the real thing that happened.
Sure.
I'm always looking for
I have a very good friend here in Australia who's a doctor, and We don't have the Hippocratic Oath here in Australia, apparently.
Oh.
it's an American thing, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a medical thing.
Just because you're in the medical industry doesn't mean you have to have ethics. I mean, there's no ethics. Anthony Fauci has no ethics whatsoever. That guy is pure evil, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you want to download Vax 2, it's on YouTube. I think you should watch it. I'm 22 minutes in, and I'm going to finish watching it. It's very distressing. The whole point of this post was when the COVID-19 vaccine comes along, think very carefully. Do your own research. I'm not going to tell anyone listening what to do. Mm-hmm. Do your own research. Watch these videos. Get both sides. Make your decision. And make sure you make the right decision. Nobody here is giving advice.
The thing is, that will make it financially, it's when, this is what...
Okay, but what is the cost? What is the cost if you get a vaccine?
What they'll do is...
What is the cost
to have a job?
No,
it'll be to have a certain job, say a government job or a job on the airlines and that. That's where they'll start in that sort of way. And rather, you know what people are like, they'll take the point of least resistance. You know, we're talking normies here, not us. I mean, none of us would take that.
I know people need to do the research. That's the main point. Here's another great post, How the Money System Produces Science. This is an article from peaceofmindful.com. Mark over there is a fantastic writer. He has a bunch of other writers on his blog. A really great story and book review on Kerry Mullis. Who's Kerry Mullis? He is the inventor of the PCR test, the test that everyone is using now for COVID-19. And I think Kerry Mullis is I don't know if he's a real doctor. I don't know if he really came up with this in the sense that he's a crazy character. He's allegedly dead now. He wrote a book called Dancing Naked in the Minefield. And it's possible he is just a front man for the intelligence agencies, the scientific intelligence agencies. Yep. And because he comes across as the crazy guy. And again, when you come across as the crazy guy, it kind of discredits everything you've done. And it almost is a form of mocking as well. I mean, these psyops are
so complicated. Ab, if you want to see an interview with Kerry Mullis, and one with Fauci that's excellent. The documentary's on YouTube. It's called The Other Side of AIDS. The Fauci one's very telling, but Kerry Mullis is there too, and he's talking about...
Look, how many people died, Rollo? How many, like, we got Freddie Mercury died Rock Hudson. All those guys died unnecessarily. Not that Rock Hudson was any great talent, but Freddie Mercury died through treatment of AIDS.
There it is.
Those who attempt to dispel the notion that HIV is the cause of AIDS are perpetrators of death.
HIV, first of all, nobody's ever found it in a human being. Think of it. The so-called HIV tests do not detect HIV in a person. They detect your antibodies that react to some proteins that are produced at Abbott Laboratory.
Not sure I've watched this. I probably have, but I'm going to have to watch it again.
Where's the original paper that isolated HIV so that nothing else was present, and they actually could go and find what the proteins were and the nucleic acids were? I think you won't find that paper because it hasn't been published yet.
Millions of people take tests that are referred to as HIV tests. However, the idea that there is a laboratory test that can determine whether or not a person is infected with the virus is simply an illusion.
Cinematic hand grenade with LA Weekly.
I mean, I understand there are a lot of people, if you ask them about HIV causing AIDS being a fact, they'll say, of course, it's indisputable. And the very fact that they will say it's indisputable might lead you to question their ability to understand the scientific method.
I should download that. How fun. And the reason it's so relevant today because these same type of tests are being used for COVID.
Exact same. This is a repeat
of the AIDS thing, except instead of gay homosexual or gays or homosexuals or drug using men, they've applied it to everybody now. Yeah. Everyone is in this. Yeah. You, me, everybody.
Yeah, this is.
If I can point. Sorry, Rick. Ab, if I can point anyone to anyone who's listening to this audio chat, you did a fantastic interview with a guy called David Crowe from The Infectious Myth. Do you remember that?
And we're going to get him back. I'm actually a patron of David Crowe as well.
Yeah, he's a fantastic fellow, and that was a wonderful interview you did. And, yeah, that guy switched on, and I suggest everyone listen to that. That's in your FAK,
Goes back.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fantastic. Very good. Listen, I am the biggest FAK, the Master Fake Theatre or FAK chat fan ever.
Thank you, Rick.
Some of those have been totally eye-opening to me, who I consider, look, I'm pretty well researched, but I hadn't heard a lot of that stuff. And the Dr. Day one, yes, I knew about Dr. Day, and yes, I knew about...
Oh, I am still listening to Dr. Day, and Marcus, fantastic. Thank you very much. Marcus Allen, who is now on Hoax Syndicate. We will plug Hoax Syndicate. Bella said it's nice to us. It'll be nice back. HoaxSyndicate.com. Marcus is on there. Marcus Allen is the one that referred me to the revelations of Dr. Day. I put it all in one audio. It's about 5 hours.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I have also booked. I just listened to a little more this morning. I'm only halfway through, for God's sakes. It's so long.
I've done a lot.
So much there, Rick. So much.
Yeah. Particularly whoever the female is that's interviewing him, that talks to the guy, she's fantastic because she asks loads of questions and brings up lots of stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part. I put the interview. Did I put it at the beginning or the end of that five hour?
It's probably towards the end, but
yeah, it was an actual interview with the guy that is recounting his conference, because the original Dr. Day, of course, is long gone. He said, "Don't record it. Don't repeat it."
I'm talking about the guy that actually exposed it, whatever his name is, and the female that was interviewing him and talking to him. Very, very, very good. And simple things like in Sydney, we've got a building with these two giant double monolith twin towers in front of them. It's an old power station. They've kept it there, unrenovated, decaying in front of your eyes, with these big giant 11s in front of it for the last 40, 50 years maybe, or 60 years.
Yeah.
And I used to think, why would they do that? Because like, I'm in a salubrious area. The houses are $3 or $4 million minimum to buy. Mm-hmm. Why would they allow a building to just sit there rotting? But when you listen to that podcast, you get the answer. They're doing it to give you, it's a psychological thing.
It's just to keep you aware that you're not far away from living in decay and ruin.
That's it. Yeah.
On the side of fakeologist.com, if anyone's watching on YouTube, I only have 11 subscribers. So come on, guys, get the numbers up here. Especially if you make sure you start somewhere, mate. 11 subscribers on YouTube. I don't put much energy into it because I really hate the idea that they take it down tomorrow.
Look, this would be one of the greatest podcasts you've done ever, I would say.
I don't know about that. On the right side of fakeologist.com, I want you to record a bumper right here.
That's your catchphrase, the bumper now.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Anyway, I want you to record a bumper here. Here's the script. Please record a bumper. Hi, I'm Rolo from Sydney, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. I want you to record it. Just click this record button here. Underneath here is a very handy part of the website called Categories. If you click on this, you will see all the categories of the different posts. And I know the posts are all over the place, but this is how you make sense of them. So you can click on audio. It says here I've linked to almost 2,000 audio files, not all mine. And if you click down here, Fakeologist Show, 263 of them, or Master Fake Theater, 17 of them. Click that, and what's going to happen? It's going to reload the web page, and you're going to see all the Master Fake Theaters. By the way,
wonderful.
Junior Fakeologist has created this wonderful header. Here's a picture of Fauci and Gates. They're pushing the corona virus down a mountainside, and Donald Trump is trying to push it back up the hill, Sisyphus. And if he doesn't, it's going to run over him and come over here and destroy the economy. And that's actually
he's very
happening.
Talented, your boy. He's very talented.
I don't have a boy in this role, actually.
Oh, good. Sorry,
anyway, here we have Master Fake Theater. All right. And there's a promotion for Master Fake Theater. So here it is, Master Fake Theater, The Revelations of Dr. Day. Now, here's an interesting clip. At the 2 hour and 42 minute mark, I'm going to go to that mark and see if I can play this here.
Hello, this is the Fakeologist speaking. You're listening.
40. And let's play a bit of it. We'll just wait till it queues up. And here he's talking about saving too much, people that save money. So as soon as it queues up, it should play. Come on here. Come on, Dr. Day. Let's go.
Come on, Ab. Keep ad-libbing. Come on.
Well, I'm just waiting for this annoying...
Ab-libbing. It's called...
Yeah, ab-libbing. Yeah.
Actually, I don't even have to rely on the website. I can go find the damn file myself on... my own server here. Why wait for it? Master Fake Theater number 15. Let me just bring it up here. 2 hours and 40 minutes.
You're obviously
mark.
In your studio. Yes.
Where is it here? Master Fake Theater. Oh, I got vertigo. 2 hours and 40 minutes mark here.
There's some statement of recognition that wealth represents power and wealth in the hands of a lot of people, it's not good for the people in charge, so that if you save too much, you might be taxed. The more you save, the higher the rate of tax on your savings, so your savings really could never get very far. And also, if you begin to show a pattern of saving too much, you might have your pay cut. People would say, well, you're saving instead of spending, you really don't need all that money. But basically the idea being to prevent people from accumulating any wealth which might have long-range disruptive influence on the system. People would be encouraged to use credit to borrow and then also be encouraged to renege on their debt so that they would destroy their own credit. And the idea here is that, again, if you're too stupid to handle credit wisely, this gives the authorities the chance to come down hard on you once you've overshot your credit.
And here's another
electronic
part.
Payments initially would all be based on different kinds of credit cards. These were already in use in 1969 to some extent, not as much as now. But people would have credit cards with the electronic strip on it. And once they got used to that, then it would be pointing out the advantage of having all of this combined into a single credit card serving a single monetary system. And then you don't have to carry around all that plastic. So the next step would be the single card. And then the next step would be to replace the single card with a skin implant.
Hear this. There you go.
A single card could be lost or stolen. Give rise to problems, could be exchanged with somebody else to confuse identity. The skin implant, on the other hand, would be not losable or counterfeitable or transferable to another person. So you and your accounts would be identified without any possibility of error.
There you go.
And
the
skin implant, of course, would have to be put somewhere that was convenient to the scanner. For example, your right hand or your forehead.
Wow.
At that time when I heard this, I was unfamiliar with the statements in the Book of Revelation. The speaker went on to say, now some of you people who read the Bible will attach significance to this, to the Bible. But he went on to disclaim any biblical significance at all. This is just common sense of how the system could work and should work, and there's no need to read any superstitious biblical principles into it. As I say, at the time, I was not very familiar with the...
there you go. What do you think of that? It's talking about the chip.
Shortly after,
what's it called? The Mark of Cain? The Mark
whatever
of Cain, or...
Whatever it was in the Revelation. But they were talking about the chip in the hand or the forehead for a long time.
Ab, I haven't had a credit card in 20 years.
I know, but did you listen to that Master's Theater? Got to get you listening to that.
Yeah, yeah, I will. I'll listen to them all. I've got plenty of time. The other interesting thing coming out of this COVID thing, apart from the the immuno whatever mark that
immunity
Bill Gates
passport.
Wants us to all get, is to get rid of the cashless. They want the cashless society. It doesn't matter that they still want you to buy newspapers to get your daily dose. So I've got my newspapers here for today.
Nobody buys newspapers. Nobody.
No,
buys
I don't buy them. I actually nick them.
Yeah, but nobody, even if you got it for free, nobody's reading it. It's just newspapers are done. They are done.
Today's online front
media.
Page story is called COVIDiots. Guns, girls, and a complete lack of respect for COVID-19 social distancing restrictions have led to harsh fines for some of the biggest stars of the NRL. Now, the NRL, Ab, is rugby league here in Australia, and these two footballers went out camping, and they've been all over the news. Four players led by representative stars Josh Adokar, Latrell Mitchell, Nathan Cleary, to avoid suspension. Suspension for what? The circuses are done. I think the worst thing Bill Gates said was when, if we allow festivals, music festivals back again and things like that. It was awful. Like
why are we listening to Bill Gates? Don't we get enough of him through Windows on our computers? I mean, honestly,
want Ben Wyatt to get that pie out and pie him. Remember that?
Well, unfortunately, Bill Gates is mainstream media, and he's reported everything he says. It's going on the mainstream media, and the drones, and I'm talking about the drones flying around recording, I'm talking about the drone public, they're listening to the stuff and following
it. We don't need Bill Gates in our lives, period.
We don't, and we understand where he comes from.
Never forget that this guy was responsible for Windows Vista also.
Exactly.
Good on you, Gareth.
Exactly.
Hey, Gareth.
Exactly.
And the only viruses that he ever got were on his fucking Windows bloody operating systems. That's the only real viruses.
Yeah. Absolutely. Non-stop viruses. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And Bill Gates, I mean, just listen to him or look at him and say, would you trust him to look after your children? Or your dog.
But he talks in that way when Ab was talking earlier. And he talks in that way that TED talk. If we do a good job on the vaccines, we can lower the world population by 15%. Hold on, Bill. I thought vaccines are supposed to be life saving.
Yes, but that's the logic behind population reduction, because in his mind, if you up the standard of living, people will have less kids. So in the end, he's probably twisting it in some way.
Yes, he's referring to that. Yeah, I agree. The truth wants to come out, but yeah, I agree. Depopulation
anyway,
is the name of the game.
Anyway, he was tested on the local newspaper the other day, but I don't play on this.
As a eugenicist, he only wants certain people to reproduce.
That's right. And Rick was saying before about his roots and that. His parents were in Planned Parenthood, weren't they? They were part of that mob.
Founded it.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go.
And what is Planned Parenthood? It's a way to the black people to stop reproducing, really.
Yeah.
That was the main thing.
And the other thing...
Blacks and poor people...
When they say population control, like, you've got to realise that they mean the controlling of the population via any method whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just lowering the population. It can be controlling the population.
You're right, Rick. It's like Fauci being part of the centres of disease control. They control the disease. Exactly. Not in the way normies think.
They don't try and solve it. They control it. They manipulate it. Yeah. They are not lying, are they? They're not lying.
Sorry. How good was I? Thank you. How good was AIDS?
G'day, Tom.
G'day, Roll. G'day, mate. How good was AIDS as a population control technique? You know, we all bought up the condoms. But I was just going to say, you mentioned drones, and a thought had occurred to me with them. Looked into Manchester, which is the city of the bee. They love this idea of the bees, but it's the worker bee that we're supposed to align to this idea of being a good worker bee. There's three types of bee. Of course, there's the queen, the hierarchy, then there's the drone, then there's the worker bee. They do all the work, none of the breeding in the bee system. So I thought that was really quite a nice analogy, and it's almost as if they're sort of pushing this idea onto us, you know, to evolve into this kind of
100%. They are. It's so obvious once you look at it that we're being run like the herd. They call it herd management, even in the top levels of government. It's herd management. It's running the drones, the people, the sheeple, whatever they're called, to do what they're told. You know. So the other thing on the news the other day was Australia is running on negative population growth. So we're now running. There's more dead than being born.
Well, that most Western countries are most Western.
Oh, for sure, absolutely. It's happening.
I like the other day when you got a bit animated with this whole AIDS thing because you were just coming into your sexual prime, and then they brought AIDS in, and then all the bloody people stopped having sex because they were all so fearful of.
But dying. You know what they did? You know what they did? They released more songs. If you look at the hit songs about 84, 85, it was People Are Still Having Sex or George.
Oh, yeah, that was Latour. Hey, Ab, can we hear that? Latour. Yeah, people are still having sex. Sex keeps, lust keeps on lurking. Nothing will make them stop. This AIDS thing's not working. Yeah.
So they were definitely trying to push the have more sex and they had, what's his name? The gay guy died of AIDS. We just talked about him before.
What's it called? Latour Sex?
It's called People Are Still Having Sex by Latour. Latour.
That came out to kind of push, you know, don't stop having
absolutely.
Sex. Keep having sex. And then there was...
Here it is.
...1991, the Island of Def Jam Music.
Yeah, that's it.
Doesn't sound like the Kurt Cobain era, does it? Sounds like disco.
Great song.
The lyrics are great. Yeah.
Have you noticed that people are still having sex? All the denouncement had absolutely no effect. Parents and counselors constantly scorn them, but people are still having sex and nothing seems to stop them.
There was so many kids pushing sex.
Hello, lover.
AIDS came in.
Okay.
Do you realize that people are still having sex? They've been told not to. Perhaps they are perplexed. When you see them holding hands, they're making future plans to engage in the activity. Do you understand me? People are still having sex. Lust keeps on lurking.
I've never heard the song. How about that?
Nothing makes them stop.
That's the radio version.
Yep.
It's been going on for quite a while.
It says replace AIDS with corona and sex with fun.
And
you have more or less the current situation.
They realized that people had stopped doing it, so they wanted to make them do it again.
Yeah, so maybe. That's the comment somebody made a month ago.
Yeah.
So people are still looking up this song.
Yeah, so they had that song. You had George Michael's "Let's Talk," or you know, that, sorry, another song. Let's
Talk about
"Let's Talk About Sex."
The George Michael song.
That George Michael had that song about, it was called Sex, basically. And there was a whole lot of
it is.
They all came rushing out.
I'll tell you a story. Rick. All right. I'll tell you a story. In 1992, or no, in 1994 it was, just before me and Christy hooked up.
Cinderella cut it up.
I went. Now that's not George Michael.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things that we can make.
Let's talk about sex. Those songs came. They were rushed out. Those songs got rushed out all at the same time to tell us to keep having sex because all of a sudden people had said, oh, I don't want to get AIDS. So they keep pushing the whole thing, you know, by the music industry.
Who knows?
Anyway, this story goes like this, right? And I went and had my AIDS test. Anyway, I rang the doctor and when should I come in to get my results? And she goes, she looks through and goes, no, you're negative. And I go, oh, okay. What happens if I was positive? And she goes, oh, well, we'd ask you to come in and see the doctor. And I go, well, if I have another test then, and and you say come in and see the doctor, I'll just jump off the nearest bridge.
Oh, no, I did that one when I get to see the doctor, and I was scared shitless. They told me, yes, come back in a week and meet the doctor and anything. And I did go there, and I tell you the truth, I was totally scared out of my mind. And I go there, and there's the doctor, and two younger girls, and she's saying, oh, so they are students, and they are here to witness the interview and everything. So, okay, it's fine. And say, okay, so you are negative, so everything is fine. And I was like, fuck you, motherfucker. I was the relief, you know. At that time, I did not know better about that disease or whatever, and I was very, very scared.
Garris, exactly the same with me, too. I believed it back then, too. I didn't know shit. And then, you know, it wasn't until later and the internet had come in and I looked into it a bit more. And then you see the real nasty side of the whole business because I don't even know how this COVID test work. I mean, they're going to point this gun at your head or something if just to say some sort of temperature. How does that prove anything?
That's just a temperature thing. They're doing a swab. The one swab went right down your nose and all that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Ashlew. Oh, big shout-out to Ashlew, by the way. I spoke to her for 4 hours the other night, and she's having a break at the moment because it was getting on top of her, so she's taking a break. And, she's in good spirits, though, and I got a nice message from her today. Yeah.
Okay.
Big shout-out to her. Yeah.
Good to hear. It was almost over the top, wasn't it? It was a little bit like a high person. You know, with all the colour and all the research, all the posts and all the mix, and then suddenly she was gone, you know, it's a bit, bless her. She seemed quite sweet to me.
She's a lovely lady. I've got heaps of pictures of her. She's a person of colour. Oh, by the way, I've got to do an apology. I read something stupid the other night. Rochello, I apologise to her. Yeah, I know, I've got Asperger's or Tourette's.
And on with the break.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And thank you to the recent Patreons. We have Lloyd Miller, a recent Patreon. We have Farce Value. We have so many fantastic patrons. We really want to appreciate all you guys. Thanks so much. And
so
we've got top-notch energies as well. Man, so
are
many guys.
Are you making money, Mr.
I don't know. I'm just just taking a few donations, paying probably a few basic costs. Let me just point out.
Help keeps the lights on. Help keeps the lights on, eh?
Well, I think it's more of a way for people to appreciate what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's what David Crowe said. And did you say that you're going to do an Are you going to say you're going to do a new interview with him soon?
I am. I got to do an interview with him. So we're going to do that. And I just want to point out this fakeologist.com graphic here. Fantastic. Here we have the climate change symbol, the polar bear over the melting ice cap. And this is what they were trying to point out, but the climate change campaign didn't really work around the world. So then they brought in this little guy, the COVID, and he's got Gates plans in his briefcase here, and he's on a catapult. And this is going to catapult the program right over into utopia right here. So this is a fantastic graphic I envisioned, devised, where it is the corona that will launch us out of the so-called era of poisoning the earth and melting the ice caps and into
Hey, Ab, let me tell you a story. I guess who I met with the climate change thing, Lord Christopher Monckton. I've actually shaken his hand. I met him. You know who he is?
So did you formally apologize to Rochelle? Did you get that out?
No, I'll do it now.
You're not a right.
Let me be quite clear here. I don't have Asperger's. I'm not a racist, but I am a drunk, and I write stupid things when I'm drunk, and it wasn't meant in a nasty way. I think she posted what I wrote, and she went, "I hope you kill yourself" or something, and I went, "That's fully understandable what you said. Look, I'm sorry if I offended you or SNJ. It's just stupid. It was just me."
Did you apologize?
I did, unreservedly. And I said, "I hope you can forgive me for hurting your feelings and whatnot, because it was unintentional. I'm not out to be a pain in the bum, but..."
I think what confuses white people like you and I, you know, of course, are we're totally of white privilege, etc. It confuses us because the black rappers, especially, they use the N-word all the time. And
all the time.
I guess it confuses white people saying, why can't we, white people, use it? Because even if we use it in the same kind of manner as the conflict, rappers and the black people.
Who says you can't use it?
Is that Dave J?
Yeah.
Dave J! G'day, mate.
Well
who says you can't use it, though?
A lot of black people tell us.
Quentin Tarantino.
And they get offended.
We were talking about
Quentin Tarantino
is
what?
Exactly, intent.
Yeah, we were talking about intent before. So if you say, if you use a word, let's say you use the word nigger. Okay, well, what do you mean? Who are you talking to? Okay? So it depends on what your intent is. Nobody can take words from people. People need to stop trying to say, "I'm going to take this tone from you." You can't do that, because I might need to use it sometime for a reason, for a purpose.
That's a fact.
That is beyond what you're talking about. Right?
Well, I didn't say, Dave.
People take words from you, man, ever.
Yeah, I hear. And that's what I mean. I did not use it in a derogatory sense or anything
that's
like that. It's not
that's
a lie.
Lie.
It's the truth.
That's a fact.
Someone's having a bit of fun. That's okay.
Dave, you've got the best voice ever. You carry your intent through your voice like no other. I have to say.
Don't blow too much smoke up his bum, Rick.
Oh no!
Gotta leave room for Rolo's lips.
What did you write the other day, Dave? Like, I told you,
I like your little. I can't say it because you say it with a certain tone, like a certain way, but the certain way you say it.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I love it. There you go.
Fuck off!
It's funny. Now, don't let anybody ever take that from you, ever.
I said it out of my voice.
No, because absolutely everybody. Yeah, because you have a certain tone, and I hear
what's in your hand time. What's in your hand?
It's like being mad at Rolo. It's like being mad at the clown at the circus. He's just being who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
What about
exactly.
Being a guy? Hey, Ab, you didn't take that guy a bit
Rolo's
out. You didn't take
harmless,
that guy out again.
A harmless drunk. Rolo, can we call you a drunk?
Yes, of course you can.
When okay. Rolo's
you're,
abusing...
I think you're harmless. And Rolo,
mostly
do you wanna,
harmless, Ab.
Rolo,
Ab,
do you
want
to apologize
harmless.
To SMJ as well? Because SMJ
I will apologize. Let me be quite clear. I apologize, yeah, to, yeah, for any offense taken, because it wasn't meant, it was unintentional. There you go.
Rollo's cleared the air.
I support you, Rollo, because I
thank
know
you, mate.
Don't
thank you. Yeah, thank you, you Kiwi poor.
Rick
you
is a
good, Kiwi.
Rick is a good friend to Rollo.
I am.
You're my best friend.
Yeah, but I've spent a lot of time with him, and I know, and I would have nothing to do with the guy if I thought he was actually a racist, nasty person. And he's not. He's just a misunderstood, and genuine person. And always
so
entertaining.
Are you.
Yeah, well, of course, but...
Well, you're not misunderstood, but you're genuine. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, of course, but listen... Dave, 100%. Now, this man, you've got the voice that no one else has. You have got the voice. You carry your intent.
Yeah, Dave. When we didn't get off well to start with. I had some issues with you, but
right.
Once I learned your mindset and all the good works you did in the Philippines and whatnot, and
exactly.
You turned out to be a really good guy.
Well, yeah, all that stuff in the Philippines, that was really just a matter of. Fulfilling a personal promise I made to myself back in 1988, when I saw my my extended family, my nieces and nephews living on those dirt floors, I said, "Man, one day when I can do something about that, I will." That's all. And that was really one of those things about just finishing a thought, So I had this thought a long time ago, and it's like I can't rest until I've finished, or at least tried to finish the best I can this project. And that's what that game's about. So it's like it's with anything else. So if you've done the work and you know what you are speaking of, then that will come through your tone. It's going to come through your voice. And others that hear it will receive it, and it's going to sound different to them. Whoa, that sounds different than what I've heard from other people. Let me look into that. And if they do, they'll find something.
Hey, Dave, I remember years ago, I think it was Banazir and Dusty S, they called you the poor man's Alex Jones.
and I said, he's the
poor man's Alex. That was so funny.
And I actually said on our podcast, the Far Podcast, I said, he's the rich man's Alex Jones, because he's carrying a tone of genuinity, if that's a word.
I don't think Dave J has ever said that the water or the water's going to turn the frogs gay.
Look, compared to Alex Jones, he has a genuine intonation with what he says.
Good guy.
The thing is, the Alex Jones character and characters like that, they bring things out like these memes and these ideas like 1776. They bring back this idea, which is a complete and total hoax lie, because that's nothing but the 777 code, right in plain sight. But then they tell you that as if you're going to go back to this magical time. That if all these, if we can get all these people out of their garages all together and fight the power, that we'll somehow return to this magical time, which didn't exist either. Exactly. So they're believing in something that didn't exist. So whenever you take these people who are selling a lie, from that moment forward that they're liars. And I've told people from the beginning why I'm here, and that's to destroy all this whole world, destroy the world between people's ears. That's my intent here.
Can I?
So Dave, your thoughts on this Corona thing? I mean, do you want to destroy that or promote it?
Wow. I don't think you listen, man. As much as I like you, you're a word I say.
He wants to destroy. And he's got this, he means it when he says it. He fucking says it, and he means it.
So if you have what we're dealing with is not a coronavirus. You're not dealing with a virus that's going to kill you. What you're dealing with is the reaction to people believing that.
Yeah.
And so that's what the real thing that we deal with is the reaction to a lie.
Okay. So you're talking about the Hegelian dialectic then. Is that what problem really?
Yeah.
But this has always been. This is a war with a different invisible enemy. But this is the same thing they did with, this is the same exact playbook that they use World War One, Vietnam, all of these other wars use the same exact playbook. They're just giving you different details, but they're moving. There's going to be hot spots. It's going to be flare-ups. They're going to use all kinds of different military jargon, and they're going to send out fast first response units and all kinds of nonsense. And then that's going to keep putting people back into this lockdown. Because they keep doing the carrot and stick. Oh, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks,
yeah,
2 weeks.
Point. Yeah.
None of that is real. It's only to keep you quiet for two more weeks and to kind of give you a little bit of relief. Oh, great. Okay, two more weeks. And then about a week into that 2 weeks, they're saying two more weeks. And then you're, wait a minute, isn't that 3 weeks? Next thing you know, it's compounded to 6 weeks. Next thing you know, it's 2 months. And you're like, wait a minute, what happened to 2 weeks? By then, it's too late. See?
There was Dave.
At the Genesis.
Yeah, Dave, we had a guy on a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, called Heroes. And, yeah, the Rockefellers already have got a document from 10 years back pointing this all out. And you've read that, haven't you?
I looked into that. Yeah. Well, because I looked at two things. It was sent to me that, and it was sent to me to take a look at the movie Quarantine. Okay. No, it was mm-hmm. a Quarantine, or was it something?
Outbreak.
Yeah, one of those. The one where they had Contagion was the name of it. I'm sorry, Contagion. And
that's the last one.
Yeah, it basically mirrors the initial story of what was put out with this story. It's word for word almost. The only thing, though, is that there's a time frame that's portrayed within the movie that doesn't quite match up to what's happening now. Because here in this place, things have to move a lot faster, meaning that if you've built a habit in the last 14 to 21 days, you've basically built a habit in the people that they're no longer really going to movies and all these other things they used to do by habit. Those habits have been broken. So now it's time to strike. You strike when the iron's hot. Yeah. You strike and you build new habits. That's got to happen fast. Because if people then go back out and then get rebirthed into their old habits, what was the point? There was no point there. They haven't done all this stuff for no reason. This is all a new economy. This is the new world. People have been waiting for their whole life. This is being birthed in front of them. The crown, the idea of the top of the head, the idea of the birth is the crown of the head coming out. That's how you know when a baby's being born, by the fact you see the crown. It's crowned, and that's in fact a term. Baby has crowned, meaning it's being birthed, all right? So then that's the corona or the crown of the new world system, all right? It's called, if I use the word order, if I say new world order, people will then go sideways because there's all kinds of lies attached to that phrase. But if I say new world system or new world economy or new economy, those don't have as much baggage assigned to them.
Yeah, trigger words. Yeah, I hear you, Dave. There was you'll remember, well, maybe you watched, maybe you didn't, there was a show called The X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
And they did an episode where the planes were going to crash into the World Trade Center, and it was done a few years before, but I reckon, Kelly, who wrote that series. Yeah, it must have had some sort of inside.
This is all pre-planned. This is all pre-planned.
Yeah, and then we had, Project, you remember Project for American Century? I mean, they laid out 9/11, a year before in that document.
But that's just a version of the same thing with this Rockefeller thing. It's the same version of the same
thing. Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? This has been done before. Everything is first war gamed on paper. You war game it on paper. Then you have to do a stress test. And I told you 2 months ago in a video that this first stage was a stress test. And what is stress testing is supply lines, all those things you test during war, fuel lines, things like that. All right? After the stress test is complete, you go into what's called the second wave. Because if you look back through all these hoaxes, there's always the idea putting forward of the twin peak or the idea of the second wave. And this isn't something that just happens unnaturally. This happens naturally. And a lot of you go to the beach and you'll know this dynamic when I tell it to you. If you stand on the beach, a wave will come in. when that wave, when that water draws back towards the main body of water, if you stand there, there's going to be a second wave that's formed with that water, and it splashes right onto your feet. The difference with that second wave is it disturbs a lot of sand or ground. It will actually bury your feet if you're standing right there. It's something, it doesn't need to be big waves either. You can go check this out at anywhere where there's little waves. You can go see this dynamic I'm talking about. But yeah. The idea behind it is
It's funny you should bring Twin Peaks up, because David Lynch, he did a great, there's a great interview with him where he's smoking heavily, and they're asking about 9/11, and he's looking at all the collapse of Building 7, and because obviously he's a famous director in that, and he's there going, well, you know, that couldn't happen, and I like David Lynch's take on the world as well as yours.
There's always truth and there's fiction. There's not a bunch of people's different takes on the world. It's not a bunch of little gods running around here making their different little set designs and takes on the world. All right. So what David Lynch is talking about within that, if you're talking about 9/11, that's not to be confused with September 11, 2001. That is a 9/11 event, but that doesn't then explain what 9/11 is. 9/11 is the idea, any 9/11 story, this current story right now, when it was birthed, is a 9/11 story.
It went live on 3/11, didn't it?
Or 3/22. But we're going to something deeper than that. We're going to something within your mind, how your mind works. If something is a 9/11 story, if it goes into your mind and you believe it, it's going to destroy everything that was there before it, and it will then be rebuilt in that place. Do you understand? So your worldview within your mind is now going to be rebuilt from that moment forward. So most people, if you ask them, what were you doing, what was your life like before this date or this date or this date, they can go back only so far before they can't really recall what their life was like.
Yeah,
because their reality has been rebuilt in their mind, and it has covered up.
I think I hear you, because it's... If you regress back to that traumatic, you have to go back there to then move on a different timeline. I'm pretty sure of it. It's the same. It's the same with this COVID thing. Really went live,
It's another version of the same thing. Yeah, the 311. I told you about the three rings and why this place is called a three ring circus and why people call the theater of war, because all of this this truly is theater. All of this is a theater of the mind, and the physical aspect of it is just to reinforce that. Meaning that if I give you a bunch of details and I tell you that the National Guard and all this stuff's going to happen, and I give you all these scare stories and I've scared you to death, and then I send a bunch of, you know, weakened warriors down the freeway in a, you know, 10 or 20 tanks or whatever, from one base to the next, people all of a sudden assign all the details they want to that picture that they just saw. People are just moving vehicles from one place to the next, but they'll put everything, they'll put all their hopes and dreams on that, and that will be confirmation of everything that they were scared of. And then they'll go running off and tell their friends, you will not believe what I just saw. And you shouldn't, because at that point they're about to add a bunch of nonsense that's all up in their head. Because all they
I agree. Yeah. Ab, are you still there? Ab. Because Ab's having problems talking to his parents at the moment. They said made him sit at the end of his driveway to talk to his mother, and my brother believes it as well. And
my parents are the same. It's true.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is El Sushi from Tokyo, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Now this may sound hard, but it's just the way it is. When my parents are the same way, and guess what? I just cannot talk to them, because when I do talk to them, I tell them exactly what I'm telling you, and then they hang up on me. But I will not lie to them. But you know, it goes back to different. And we were talking earlier about people's racial attitudes. My parents basically disowned me in 1988.
actually, when I married my wife from the Philippines. And they've never gotten over that. It doesn't matter, though, because that's their life. It has nothing to do with me, right? So if they're going
well,
to
Dave, let me tell you this. At least they're not trying to vicariously live their lives through you. I mean, you've separated yourself from them, so you're free of that. But it's sad, though. I mean, you'd still like to have contact with your parents. Well, I mean, my mother's died now, but my father's still alive, and he doesn't believe this shit, but my brother does.
That's too bad. Like I say, but you can work on him.
Yeah, okay.
You got leeway on your brother because, you know, he knows you, so you start working on him then. Mm-hmm. Because all you're going to do is save his life, that's all. That's all you're really going to do is save his life by getting him out of this lie-filled world.
Well,
that's
the thing is, he's a ski instructor, and he travels the world to ski. And the thing is, I think he'll probably take the vaccine, and that's the worst thing. I don't want him to. But he'll probably have no choice and just take it because, again, he's a normie and...
But it goes beyond. If I lose him
to vaccine injury, I'll blame myself that I didn't do a good enough job. Yeah.
If you blame yourself, then you're going to have to say, I blame myself for doing what? Have you done actually any work? So let's just say this. Let's say if you do 6, 8, 10, 2 years worth of work on him and he still doesn't get it, then maybe you can start talking about blame. But I'm not sure that you've actually done any work yet. So,
I'll try. Right,
you're kind of ahead of the horse, right? Cart ahead of the horse, they call that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You're a good man, Dave. Well done. I like the way you look at the world. Don't call me sir. I'm not your boss.
Thank you, sir.
yes, sounds military, doesn't it?
Well, I was in the military for 10 years. I told you that. I was in the Navy, man. But I tell you, I put up that one video from 1996, I think, I want to say it was. And you see me in the background. I'm there goofing off. I didn't even take it seriously back then, which is why I never made it very high up in rank.
Dave, have you seen the movie Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of Matthew Modine's character in that. The Joker character. You know, he has two symbols on his helmet. One's the peace symbol, and the other one's born to kill. They ask him, "Why do you wear that?" And he goes, "Oh, I think it's got something to do with the duality of man, sir."
Brilliant, brilliant, Rollo. Good spotting, man.
Yeah, it was classic, yeah.
That's a great movie.
You're not in the military, but you've worked on movie sets and...
All my workmates were all military, and I wasn't. And I tried to get on with them, you know, because these guys were all, you know, from various different operational units. And I wasn't popular because I didn't... just do what they were. I was told. I'd say, well, this is stupid, you know. I tried to argue back. But the military guys would just follow the order, you know, like...
When I was a scout, my scout leader went to Vietnam, and one of his mates, he told me when he was drunk one night, it was blown to bits. Here we go again.
You can't stop yourself, can you? You can't stop yourself.
But the guy was genuine.
None of us know that, and you don't know that. That's just your opinion. So you'd rather just take an opinion and turn it into death. So you can, in this room right now, that's where you want to take this. That's where you want to go with this.
All right, keep going.
Never mind.
I'm just relaying.
You're relaying it for no reason. You have no reason to say what you're about to say, but you're going to do it anyway.
I'm just saying that he was crying. He was crying in front of me.
Because you want people to react to you. That's what you want.
No. I was just saying it was an emotional Like,
no, it wasn't. This is a guy.
He goes,
oh, I was in the Air Force. I was in Beirut. So I'm like, okay, and? He says, yeah, I had a rocket launcher. I shot it over the building. And then when we went around, there was a car that was blown up. And there was a little girl in the back. And he stops. And I say, yeah? And he stops. He goes, that could have been my daughter. I said, no, it couldn't have been. Because nobody died, nobody got hurt. Don't you dare lie to me at my workplace. And then guess what he said? He goes,
what?
So we going to go do that other thing? I said, yeah, let's go do that. He stopped talking at that point. Because guess what? Those military people will tell you that bullcrap lie because nobody stops them. And because they get a rush out of it. I don't care if it's an emotional rush or a free drink. Either way, they think they're ahead of the game when they're not.
Dave, I was 12 years old at the time when he told me this story.
Yeah, so then why are you talking? Just consider yourself as to have been lied to and not spread it any farther. Why would you bring that up? That's the first question you ask yourself.
But I knew the guy really well. He was my scout. He was my scoutmaster. And he,
who cares?
Why would he lie that way to a 12-year-old?
Because he's a liar. That's why he lies, Rolo. Because all men are liars. What is wrong with you?
It's all sorts of accidents. Right. It's all sorts of consequences of war, though, isn't there, Dave? Which are very serious.
The consequences are the same thing that's going now. There's consequences of this COVID lie.
Yes, but
the
consequences
do not make the COVID-19 real. The consequences do not make war real. And I say war in what people call war. Because I can define it as something different. Okay? But what most people define as war is not true. Period. End of story. If anybody has told you that they were in firefights or this and that, they are lying to you. Full stop. That doesn't happen. That's not the way it happens. That's the story you get told. And if you spread that story, I'm telling you this, that death, quote unquote, will be placed upon your soul and you will personally answer for it. You personally will answer for it. I am telling you the truth.
What are you saying? Are you talking about after death?
You want to put it out here right now? Do you want to put it out here right on the air? I will put it onto your soul. So I'm going to give you that time to do it. Do you want to die for him right now? Do you want to die for your scoutmaster? Do it.
Dip.
Oh. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, mate. Stay here.
Okay. That's it. That's all I have. We can move on to something.
No. Somebody wanted to say something to you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say dip, dob.
Oh, that was Tom.
That's not scouts. That's Cub Scouts.
That was Tom. Yeah,
Tom Dalbro. That's fine. Yeah. Hey, Tommy. So, tell me, I mean, I don't know if we said this on air or before, when your thoughts on Bill Gates when he said, will he allow festivals to happen again? He was saying it was up to him. I mean, did that piss you off?
It's a fucking outrage, isn't it? It's fucking outrageous. But
it is, isn't it?
The level of control. They're talking about football games being played without a crowd in the stadium.
Yeah, but we've done that here in Australia, Tom. Yeah, we've done that here in Australia. It didn't work.
For 2 minutes of hate, he's just a character. He's not like actually – there's not a Bill Gates guy who's saying, okay, drop the hammer on these guys. Don't let them out. And they're like, okay, yeah, he's just a character presented to you. He's your 2 minutes hate. And when you're done hating him, they'll present you with another 2 minutes hate. And another and another and another.
Simply a front man and irrelevant, really. He's just another puppet. Yeah.
This script is going forward, period. No ifs, ands, or buts, because that's the way it's got to be. The characters are just characters, and they will be presented to you and taken from you, and even, quote unquote, you know what, from you in the story only. Because some of these characters have to go. Because in order to go to a second wave, They can't do what they did going into the first wave. They've already used that story. In order to go to a second wave, you have to shock people. So expect a shocking story that pushes the second wave into reality, into full existence. Do you understand what I'm saying? Second wave right now is just being seeded into people's mind. It's just now being a seeded idea. That seed is going to grow. And that seed is going to grow when it gets shocked into birth. And it's going to be shocked because the second wave will be preceded by a shocking event. But it's only going to be a story. Remember that. Just remember that.
All right. Is Fakeologist still there? Fake, are you still there, mate?
I'm still here.
In the Here we go. Can you play a song for me? The nations of the world. I want to stand out. I want to stand out a song to my brother.
Can you hear that?
Prosper and live in harmony.
Yes. Yeah, we can hear it.
100 generations of
justice. Did a fantastic
path to peace.
Outro.
While 1,000 wars raged across the span of human endeavor.
With George Herbert Walker Bush
struggling to be born.
And this new world order stuff is very well done.
One we've known. A world where the rule of law supplants the rule of the jungle. A world in which nations recognize the shared responsibility for freedom and justice.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Jeff C is doing a lot of work. He just did a five-hour stream.
Was that Jeff C, was it?
That's his. He created that outro to his.
Oh, good on him. I chatted with him. Yeah, with John LeBon a few years back. That was from a speech that George Bush Sr. did, in 1991 on September 11th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That in the House of Congress.
Yeah. He did it a couple times.
But did you hear what he said in the. I mean, did you actually listen to the words and not. Did you hear what he said in there?
I am listening.
The specific line that he uses, when they talk about returning to the rule of law, remember I gave a couple videos about law and what law is? Okay.
Not the law of the jungle, he says.
Okay, well, the jungle, now, what's the jungle? Jungle is natural. So they want to replace natural law, which is the love of your neighbor and the love of your creator, with the law, all right?
The law is
words of man. All right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's actually saying. So, but they make natural law out to seem bad, prehistoric or terrible.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the state of love for mankind. That's natural law. So that wants to be replaced with the man's law, which you see going on right now.
He wants to bring it to the whole world.
That's
what he was saying, yeah.
The thing with Jeff C., though, is that guy's been in that state for years. I mean, that dude, I've been trying to tell that dude for years about stuff, and he still doesn't understand what the system's about. He's still living on a pole or a polarity of the system. Most people live on the right or the left side of it, even when they know that it's not real. They still exist on one side or the other. They don't exist outside the system like they should. And unfortunately, go listen to the comments other than the good stuff, but listen to all the manure that's put out on that type of channel as well. That's the
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Dave, I've got to go because my wife has to go to sleep and my voice is still out. Jesse had a go at Simon Shack one day and that pissed me off because he'd know what the fuck he was talking about. Yeah. Me and John LeBon did a live stream with him 2 or 3 years ago and that pissed me off, just because he didn't know what he was talking about. Anyway, big thank you to Rick and you, Dave J, of course, to your Fakeologist, and everyone else. You, Tom Dalbra, So I'll just listen in, my voice is still out. My wife's going to bed.
Yeah.
So I'll talk to you later, guys. Good show. Best show ever. Best show ever, Rick.
Well, guess what? It's on YouTube and DLive. Check it out.
All right.
DLive, check it out. What is DLive? Just like YouTube? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I don't know who runs it. It's some alternative site. Everyone's on there, so I just stream to it. I'm just trying things out. But I don't think you can get archives. Once it's gone,
good.
I don't see it on their site. The archives are not there.
Yeah, unfortunately, YouTube's the same way. So let's say you had 100 videos and they had one video they didn't like and took your channel down. They take all the rest, too. It would be nice if they let you, let's say, gave you 2 weeks to download it behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? They say your channel's gone, but you have 2 weeks to get your junk and get.
Yeah.
They don't even give you that, though.
I just put it on there to try the chat. I don't care if they take my channel down because I've got other backups. But
yeah, I was thinking go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm just gonna. I'm not even gonna download my last show from the YouTubes. I noticed it didn't record at this end on my server, which is fine. It was just a visual representation of the audio that I've recorded. That's being recorded, but just the. Most people are not going to sit for 2 hours and look at the computer screen scrolling around, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't even like to sit for 2 and 3 hours in front of the computer. It's not healthy. But, we're on DLive. I streamed to Periscope, which is the Twitter video service that some people can get on their phones. It's mainly for the phones.
Yeah, I've seen Periscope before.
A lot of people use Periscope just from their phones. They're just walking around taking video. It's got its own usefulness, I guess.
No, that sounds interesting for sure. Especially if they're down somewhere where you can get like a real understanding of what's happening. You know, there's a lot of what you're presented is all framed. You know, for consumption.
Well, you're not allowed to stream live from YouTube unless you have 1,000 followers. Now, how the hell you're going to get to 1,000 followers is not easy.
No, it takes a while.
And Facebook, I think, did the same thing. I'm not on Facebook for that. I have a name on Facebook, just a pseudonym. But, as far as I know, Periscope doesn't have any minimum requirements for streaming.
Oh, that's cool.
And there used to be little apps for streaming live, by the way, before all these guys came out. Before YouTube, I had an app. I can't remember what it's called anymore. And I could stream live to their service from my phone. I had that before YouTube. I can't remember the name of it, but it's gone now. I think YouTube just bought it and shut it down. You know how they like.
That's what happens.
Yeah, they just gave the guy $1 million probably and told him to shut down. That's it.
Well, I can tell you how it works, too. My buddy, his name's Jeff. His name's Jeff Heiner, actually. He worked for Google. They hired him because he designed a spam filter. Most people know what's in their Google spam filter. Now it's much more advanced now than it was. Anyways, they hired Jeff to write their first spam filter when it first came out on their email. He was allowed to hire a team. They did all that. It was by the – I forget what iteration he told me it was in, but basically they owned all the property. And all of his work from the moment that he started working there to the day they let him go was all their work as well. They owned it. Yeah. And so they basically – they took everything they needed from him, and then they let him go. So that's how they do that.
Well, they figure they're paying them. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yep.
I think that's –
they let him go. So basically he got nothing from that as far as any residual. He gets no residual royalties or nothing, none of that. They just took it whole. They take it from you if they want it. It's just gone. But they do it legally. They do it legally. And that's why, you know, if somebody can be wronged and it's legal, then you know it's a corrupt system.
It's their system.
Yeah, exactly. So that
it's their game.
When
you play Monopoly, you don't make up your own rules. Usually, I know some people do, but you have to go by the board rules.
Well, and that's the whole thing. And that's the whole thing. Within the system, you're allowed to only get so big before you get the foot.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
Yeah, I guess everyone is pretty much gone, but
I'm
kind of tired right now, so I just answered the call when Rollo said, "Are you still there?" But
gotcha. Well, cheers, man.
Yeah, nice to chat with you, and it's too bad that Chris Kendall's alleged sister didn't come on. I tried to call her yesterday. She didn't answer the phone.
You know what I think of that. I don't have to go.
I've read what you think. Yeah, I know. I was just trying to to get her on, but obviously, I think you might have scared her off a bit.
Put the quotes around that, okay? Because I don't know anybody who. There's no proof of who that is. That could be anybody. Period.
Yes, I agree.
It could be anybody. Period. Because everything that they wrote is that information that I got off of that poster they put online. I could have wrote that stuff. There was nothing real there. There was nothing personal there. Like I told the lady, I want. And she says, "What do you want? What do you want me for?" I said, "I want a full glass of tears." That's the start.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay. Because I want some real emotion. Because I tell you what, if that, just put yourself in that situation and see what you would do as a reaction. Right? Would you even be here, really? Give me a break. This is ridiculous. And the fact that all these people, when they come in, these people all of a sudden, no, I have no way to communicate. Sorry, you know, I got my toe stuck in the mud. That type of mentality. No, I don't buy that game. Forget about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know who she is or anything.
When it started to go after me, it's like all of a sudden they start going, "Oh, are you a God-fearing, that type of thing?" I'm like, "Okay, I got you already." Because all I'm looking for is a reaction from you. When I first talk to you, like if I know you're a liar, I'm going to put something out because I'm looking for a reaction from you. I'm waiting for you to reflect something back to me. Because what you're going to reflect back to me is either going to be true emotion or forced emotion. Right? Or words that will sound to the person reading them as if you are really that person. When I read that stuff, there was nothing there. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I read it as if anybody could have wrote it, because I could have wrote mm-hmm. it. All right? Mm-hmm. And if I could write something about your feelings of your quote-unquote dead brother, then you're a liar. Because I should not be able to do that. Because I don't even know the freaking guy. I couldn't even, you know, I don't even know that I've heard one word out of his mouth in my lifetime. I just know that for a fact he's a liar, and he's a character in this whole clown play. He's a character, and that character, why that character was sent to back up that character, I almost want to say because this goes back to, this is now the second time that group's been busted, and I'm putting that group in with the same group that tried to pull the Annette Carrion hoax. I said that same group tried to assault this place twice. They didn't make it the first time. The second time, they thought they got away with it. They didn't. So they bring in this sister character, which could be some, you know, guy with Cheeto stains on a T-shirt typing out stuff for all the information they put out. Nothing personal. And then I knew that that was a lie at that point, absolutely and completely. Plus, I knew just by the tone. Because I only need to hear somebody say a few words, and I know what their tone is.
Yes.
That's it. I just need a word or two, and I know who they are.
Pictures can have tones as well, can't they? That must be
pictures are tones. Pictures are tones. Colors are. Everything's a tone, because when you see a color picture or a black anything, when you see images, those are wavelengths. Those wavelengths are converted into tones in your mind. It's either you get a feeling from a picture. You right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And you look at certain pictures and you think, well, I just don't trust that.
That's why a picture's worth 1,000 words. That sayings mean things for a reason, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. Because you can take any one of these hoaxes, you can get rid of all the verbiage, all the words, get rid of it. Just show me the picture and I'll show you the lie in the picture, just like you were just saying. You see something, you sense something. You're like, man, there's something not right with this, because you're feeling the tone. The tone of the picture is not right. You know truth inside you, and when you see that reflected back, you're like, that's not real. That's not a true tone. So then once you get that feeling, go after it, because you're going to find out that you can just pull it apart, because you're on that wavelength at that moment. You know it's a lie, and so your mind's tuned to see all the discrepancies. That's when you do that work. So whenever I tell people, when you're listening to a video and something strikes you, stop the video and go look at that, because that's when your mind is ready to receive it. But if you listen to the whole video and you think, oh, there were 5 or 6 different interesting things in there, you never follow up on any of them, you didn't get anywhere. You literally are staying in the same spot you started the day. You have to do the work. So when something piques your interest, peaks, peak, take a peek. When it piques your interest, look into it because you're going to find what you're looking for. And you keep doing that day after day after day, this place will make sense to you. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I will talk to you soon. I'm about to go toke some,
Wow, you're early today. Were you staying up all night or what?
No, I was actually, it's 9 o'clock in the morning now on my side.
Oh, you're in the east. I thought you were in California.
No, I'm on the east coast right now.
Oh, right. You're on the
east. I move about as the spirit warrants, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
I need to go where I need to go. So, anyways, I'm on the Florida side right now.
Okay.
I'm pretty close to where the one of your moderators lives. I'm up by Palm Coast, which is up by Daytona.
And, you're on the East Coast. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the East Coast. Yeah, I'm right on the beach in Palm Coast. Like I can see the
is
see
the beach
ocean.
Full?
Depends on the day. So like depends where I'm at. Flagler is Flagler County, then goes up into the next county where Daytona and Ormond Beach are. Those beaches were open, but here's the difference: you can't just as long as you're moving. So if you're running up and down the beach, fine. If you're walking, fine. If you're walking your dog, fine. If you're running,
you can't lay on a towel.
You can't be on a towel sitting. Yeah. So, which is ridiculous, of course, but that is, like I say, this is their party. They make the rules. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. If you don't you're gonna get a boot on your neck.
All I do in this dump is I just tell people, you know, I just point at and say fraud. That's it. That's all I can do is point at and say fraud. That's it. I mean, I hope that people don't. Like, and that's another thing. I just hope that people do not lose their lives. Literally, their lives for a lie. That's all. All right? So cheers, man.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Take care.
All right. We'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And Rolo's there. Tom, you're still there?
I'm actually still here. Yes. So the Dave J has left the building.
Yes, Dave. He's quite a cat, eh?
Yeah. Always interesting. I said to Rick, didn't I? I said, look. I've started a new tack with Dave. I'm going to listen to him with an open mind and treat him with as much respect as I possibly can. And, I like it that way better, actually. And going forward with an open mind.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I got to step. I've been sitting here too long now, so it was nice chatting with you, and we'll see you again. I'm just going to play around with some settings here and try and get my mobile before I leave.
Going this is here. Every day. Launch
of live streams. Yeah. Oh, did you like that?
Yeah. You're great with all this technology. I mean, God, befuddles me. But yeah,
It did sort of work. It seemed to work.
It's still working. Yeah. I like the live streams.
I need to get some more people on it to make it useful. But obviously, nobody showed up really.
They did well to make that to reverse the word evil and put it into the word live, didn't they?
it's vital. No doubt about it.
Live.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Come on. Simple one. So it's one you realise when you're a kid and you think, oh, it's evil backwards, and you nothing else of it. It's just there. What the great controlling paradigm of our ages, the devil and the, you know, hell and heaven. Dave references God and Christ. And they certainly, for me, they work as analogies to an extent. Maybe he's doing it analogously, you know. But the Bible is like the mainstream media of the ages for me. I'm always like wary when I hear the Jesus word. I understand how. You know, I've used the word God before as like an analogy, really, as how I see it, and it's worked, functioned for me as a sort of help me think things through. So help me. Don't know. Open-minded still. Yeah, you have a good day, mate. Yeah, so thanks
all
for
right.
the morning. It's all a really nice day in England here, so it's been a nice start to the. I've got my day going. I'm into the afternoon now, but yeah, cheers.
Oh, it's nice out? That's good.
At least they've given us good weather for this.
We haven't had any good weather in a while.
Have you? Yeah, you've been saying you've had bad weather for your lockdown, haven't you?
It's been rough.
In quotes. Yeah, I mean, it's been glorious in England. It was almost the best April we've had forever, sort of thing. I can't remember a better April. I did have to wonder if someone was doing it on purpose, you know, trolling the weather, which we know can be done, but know to what extent.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, good.
Take care.
Man.
Bye-bye.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
A little bit, that's all, folks.